This is the world of Command Dork Mutfag. A dirty tubal can I do more Manzer fag. The sex of Manzer ask a war, it's for wife is a whore. Or so says the brag of Mutfag. On the asses of them kikes is Mutfag. The pixie's tongue's ass to mouth it does wag. With this pecker in its hand, it can come on any man. Or so says the brag of Mutfag. Suckin' and suckin' and jubus and biting Mutfag does all is true. Yappin' and crappin' and kikin' and blinkin' Mutfag is a Jew. Dopin' and yappin' with pecker and flapping and stinkin' to Timbuktu. Though shit does happen, Mutfag will keep yapping. McCandert Mutfag comes through. This is the world of Commandert Mutfag. A double tubal can I do more Manzer fag. He sucks of Manzer's galore, it's for wife is a whore. Or so says the brag of Mutfag. This is the world of Command Dork Mutfag. A dirty tubal can I do more Manzer fag. Mutfag will do anything if the brain says it's a king. Or so says the brag of Mutfag.
Greetings, ogling, wigger, and Manzer ass clowns across the fruited nutted Zog plain in the open air, coast to coast nut house that we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final. And also to the found sheep of the house of Israel, you chosen seed of Israel's race, you who did hear Christ's call, the remnant, the ones who really matter, the infinitesimal percentage of those of you who are of the house of Israel, the pure house of Israel, the ones who Christ did decide to call, and you are so small, but yet, as Jesus Christ said, his sheep hear his voice, and also those who are my sheep hear my voice. Now, this is episode number 91 of the Movement Turd, and tonight the chat is on 9th October 2011. And the title of it is called, For the Show of Their Countenance and Bungholes Doth Witness Against Them. Now, the name for this came, and I thought it was for a long time in Jeremiah, but from Isaiah, verse 3, 9. For the show of their countenance does witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom, they hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Now, by the show of their countenance, it meant that their face, what they looked like, their big old Jew noses to testify that they were not of the house of Israel. They were just imposters. They were just Edomites. They were Canaanites. And that was, you know, that wasn't for every Canaanite. I mean, there were some Canaanites called the Amorites who were blonde, blue-eyed, and who could impersonate a white man. And they were the most dangerous of all. Pastor John Britton says the Amalekites were more dangerous because they were not only ferocious, they not only had a double measure of demon seed in them, but they also were quite able to impersonate the Aryan Israelites back in the day. And that's why they had to be exterminated. The Israelites were exterminating people who looked a good deal like themselves. Extremely dangerous. Extremely dangerous, extremely clever people who could go ahead and fit in and pollute a bloodline with the I-Corps, the bloodline of Satan. So what we have now within Christian identity is sort of ridiculous. The reason I've gone ahead and added their bungholes is that Wednesday night on Dan John's show, Legal Man, or as I call him, Legal Manzer 2012, went ahead and admitted to someone else that he had Crohn's disease. And he said further on that Steve Elder, Command Dork Mutfag, Gorilla Spawn of the Mist, Son of the Mist, whatever you want to call him,
the delusional tard living with a squaw wife working, you know, for the government up in Washington State had Crohn's disease as well. Now, McFaggy claimed to be a proud pick, but he no longer claims that because, well, essentially he's realized that to the true dual seed liner, saying that you're a proud pick might as well be saying, hey, I'm a proud Jew, I'm a proud Canaanite. But being a proud pick, being part Canaanite, being part Jew, means that, well, McFag, as I'm going to call him, McBrag, Commandork, whatever, he's admitted that he has Jew blood. Because when it comes down to it, Crohn's disease is a autoimmune deficiency disease of the intestines, which literally the blood, you know, the body has a reaction to itself. And Jews have always had that sort of problem. They've had that sort of problem when the bloodline of Satan didn't properly mix with the bloodline of true men. Now, Eve was a true member of the house of Adam because she was taken from Adam's rib cage. A portion of her was gone ahead and stretched and molded into a female of the species. She was not a six-day beast of the field. Redone over. There was no extreme makeover being done. Rather, what she was that she was remade, and she was, of course, of the house of Adam. She was of his flesh. Now, she sinned. She got seduced by Satan and gave birth to the first of the Jews, Cain. And the history of the Bible is a history of a fight between good and evil. Two seed lines. But we prefer, you know, because of Robert Miles going ahead and giving the name, it's dual seed line because there's a duality. And what is duality? It is the belief that there is a fight between good and evil. There is a struggle on this earth between good and evil. And that ultimately good will prevail, but only after horrendous tribulations, after horrendous struggles. You see, you cannot just go ahead and sit and be neutral and play around and hang on the fence looking for which side which wins. If you are the house of Israel, if you are an Adamite, a true son of Adam, you need to go ahead and redeem yourself. You need to go ahead and earn your chance at eternal life. To go ahead and make the small spark that you have because you are the pure blood. You need to go ahead and through works, go ahead and earn it. But it's not by works alone that you will do it, because all your works, no matter how righteous and how good a life you live, like Job had to find out, and that's the reason for the book of Job, is it had to be pointed out that a life with just works here, no more, you know, no matter how hard you work, what is the best of your work, the most righteous of your work, to Yahweh's benevolence and power? And the answer is, it says, filthy rags, filthy, vermin-infested, dirty, pus-soaked, bloody rags. Filthy rags. So you have to be extended grace. But you can only be extended grace if you are of the race. Throughout the Bible, there is no history of Jesus Christ going to the niggers, of Jesus Christ going to anything other than the pure Israelites. He did not. You know, there was much story, you know, there was much whining on Eli or James's you know, the voice of Christian Israel, and he's not the voice. He's neither Christian nor Israel. He's just a Jew. But you know, and by, you know, by faith and religion, you know, by race and religion, he is a Jew. Eli James is. He's, you know, pretty well think he's going to fool somebody, but he's not. But you know, contrary to what Dan Johns, another Jew, whatever these Mamzer say, you cannot be so presumptuous as to choose Christ and then have Christ go ahead and sign off on the deal if you are not of the race. You have to be of the Israelite Adamic race. And I realize that that is very unfair if you're a Mamzer. how in the world can you go ahead and undo what your erring ancestors did simply because they had a hard on? You know, simply because one ancestor was hard, another one was wet. You're here. You're here now. What can you do? And to those who are not of the pure race, I say you can live. You can go ahead and live as righteous a life. You can go ahead and obey the law of Yahweh so that you will have the same deal that the ancient Israelites had of a long life, of a prosperous life, of as happy a life as you can. But it is up to Yahweh. If he's going to make any exceptions, it's up to Yahweh to grant it. No true Israelite can go ahead and grant exceptions to Yahweh's law, to a Mamzer, to a non-white. And it's presumptuous to go ahead and teach them Christianity because it really does not belong. They do really do not belong among us. And because of all this sinning, of all this miscegenation, which was the downfall of the first Zog Babylon, as in Noah's day. Because the Adamites miscegenated, or allowed themselves to miscegenate, or essentially once things got to the point to where they had no choice other than flee or die, essentially Yahweh came down and flooded them out. He just went ahead and took his mighty middle finger and flushed the toilet. He went ahead and took the rock of the Tarim Basin and pulverized it here and then raised the water so that the basin became nothing more than a mighty inland lake, far bigger than Lake Superior, far bigger than any, you know, a mighty inland, you know, freshwater lake. He concentrated the rain and he brought up the, you know, he broke the foundations of the earth. So, but getting on with it, neither I nor anyone in Christian identity can go ahead and bring in a Mamzer. And if you go ahead and even think of bringing in a Mamzer, think of violating the number one rule, no miscegenation, no racial mixing of Deuteronomy 23:2, you are bringing an enemy, a racial enemy, a son of Satan into the gates. And that's what's happened. Now, Clifton Emmaheiser has done that. Eli James, well, you can't really blame Eli James for being a Jew and bringing Eli James and bringing in Rabbi Fink. So as a result, you know, Rabbi, you know, I mean, as I call him, Rabbi Finkelshiny, you know, Bill Fink, has essentially turned on Eli James. It is one heck of a deal when essentially you're out niggered by a nigger like, you know, a nigger like, Brian Real. I mean, you're out Jewed and out niggered by Brian Real. Now, Brian Real sort of disappeared. He did pretty good as a Judas Mamzer, and Eli James used him to go ahead and take down page after page after page of my web pages. He went ahead and took down other people's pages. People who were not in any way aligned with Christian identity, who just simply believed that they have a right to go ahead and speak on their own forum whatever they wish to speak of. And if they wish to go ahead and have a chuckle or a ridicule or two in the direction of Brian Real, an obvious shit-skinned Mamzer, pretend to be white, well, so be it. But folks, what is going on now is that people are realizing that Eli James is a Jew. They're realizing that William Fink is a evil, psychotic, murderous Jew, criminal Mamzer. But if you're someone like Commander McFagg, who's a Jew himself here, a Mamzer, who wants to go ahead and pretend to be white, what do you do? And the answer is what McFagg does is that he denies and he lies and he just pretty well just tries to tell himself that he's white and that, oh, Pastor Martin List is a child molester. Just like Alan Truett. Yeah, with Gillette. Gillette's gone ahead and made this Mamzer his security director. And now this Manzer's bringing in more Manzers, bringing on more retards, trying to go ahead and find more people to put in prison. And that's what we have in this, you know, that's what we have in this great bowel movement of ours. So what brought this on? And the answer, what brought this on, was a Whigger problem. Whiggers went ahead and brought in these Manzers. Folks, it's sort of pathetic. The people who should know better, should know what the Bible says, who pretend that they do know the Bible says, and then what they do is they go ahead and they draw the line to letting in criminals, people who have no control over their emotions, no control over their actions, no control over their deeds, who have addictions. And once you bring in these criminals, they're going to go ahead and bring in their criminal buddies, and, well, Pastor Butler brought in criminals. They were white criminals. But these criminals, in turn, like Colette. Now, I mean, the weakest and the stupidest of the lot have brought in Manzers. Manzer criminals. What do you expect when you have essentially just a hollowed out shell, a figurehead, and now you have nothing but Jews and Manzers running wild? It's just wall to wall. Above ground Christianity is nothing more than wall to wall Manzers, like Pastor John Britton said a couple months ago. Wall to wall Manzers. So the net will go ahead and be spread out, but it'll catch fewer and fewer white fish. It'll catch more and more trash fish. It'll catch more and more Manzer fish. It'll catch more and more Jew fish. And eventually it will not matter. Because, folks, what Zog Babylon's trying to do is it's trying to go ahead and find the white resistance and destroy it. Just like as in Moses' time when he was young and Jannes and Jambres tried to go ahead and destroy him. Just like when Jesus Christ was young and the Jew Herod tried to destroy him. And instead went ahead and murdered all the little 2 and 4 year old on under children in Bethlehem. Folks, we are living in the end time. And so the old measures of repression of Canaanite and Jew and Manzer oppressions are no longer working because there's fewer and fewer whites to oppress. And so the system is going down, 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 down continually. And it's not going to go ahead and get up. This system is down, and no, it is not getting up. So, folks, I'm going to go ahead and take a break. We'll go ahead and play the theme song to this show. And then we'll go ahead and, you know, hopefully Russ Walker is supposed to call tonight. So let's get it on. Hail victory, folks. Yes, I admit we got a Whigger problem. Whigger's always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, the ways you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Whigger problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating crap. I wake up and right away, if the Whigger comes to mind. The way they run to and fro, if the Whiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Whigger problem. Whiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, Sister Whiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Whigger problem. Fill the drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating slop. We'll be right back. we just keep remembering how good Zog used to be. The entire long stone our freedom's memory. Yes, I admit we got a wicked problem, which is always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, cause the winners you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wicked problem, build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always easy to drop. The way they run to and fro, and they're always easy to drop.
Okay, folks, we're here. I'm having trouble getting TalksJew to go ahead and load up, but while I'm waiting for TalksJew to go ahead and load up, I got Russ Walker on the line, and we're going to go ahead and talk a little bit about what we've seen today on the Eli James Show. You were there earlier, and you noticed that Eli James, very soon, I think it was even before you got there, he went ahead and he blocked all the guests.
Yeah, I came in late. See, for me what happens is, what for y'all is an 11 o'clock slot, for me is noon time.
Yeah.
Many times we're finishing eating dinner, and I don't get on until like 12:30 or so. So that's why I normally come in late at that time. I mean, you got to realize, this goes across several time zones. There are many people in Great Britain listening to that program. For them, it's like 6 o'clock at night or 5 o'clock at night. It's convenient for them.
Okay. Well, it's convenient for Eli James, even though he lives in Chicago, to go ahead and do it in what is really the time zone in America which has the most people in it. The Eastern Coast is the most populated portion of the United States.
Yeah, well, the center of population is in the central time zone in Missouri, as a matter of fact.
No, I guess the center of population is in Missouri, yeah. But, you know, the thing about it is, though, Russ, is that I think in terms of numbers, I used to drive a truck. The actual population, the actual center.
There are a lot of people in California, too, you know, so at any rate.
Yes, but then again, you have people, you know, which is negated by people who live in Utah and South Dakota and the Dakotas. I mean, yeah, the center of the population is Texas County, which is about...
The center of population is in Missouri.
Yeah, it's in Texas County in Missouri. And it's been going west ever since. But in any case, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock is convenient. If you end up having, it's 9 o'clock Sunday Pacific time in California... And then it would be more like about 7 o'clock in the morning if you were listening in Alaska. But I don't think there's that many people who live in Alaska who are going ahead and listen to Eli James' show. But in any case, what he's done, he's been hurt by, and he was going ahead and threatening Bill Fink with litigation for what he said about Eli James. Now, I thought that was absolutely ridiculous because, if Eli James were to go ahead and sue Bill Fink, I would just simply, it's not going to happen.
You don't want to get a civil courts in an ecclesiastical matter, I mean, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, it'd be different if Fink said that James murdered somebody or something like that, you know what I mean?
Well, Eli James don't bring clean hands. He said that I'm a child molester, convicted child molester, and all this sort of, you know, happy horse shit himself. And I would, even though I despise Fink, would, probably go ahead and help old Fink against any lawsuit that Eli James brought up by pointing out as, hey, Eli James takes down web pages.
Well, that may be true, but if this is something you don't want to get involved in, or me get involved in any
Well, the courts, I mean, he's not going to go ahead and get very, you know, very successful, because essentially people would go ahead and show that picture of him to where he looks like a Jew, and everybody thinks he's a Jew anyway.
I didn't hear his comment, but in any event, let Eli and Fink deal with themselves. They can handle it themselves. You and I should certainly not get involved in that situation, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, there's not going to be any real getting involved in the situation, you know, between Eli James and Bill Fink. In fact, I really like seeing them, you know, tearing each other apart. At the very end, are you going to side with, you know, Fink? Are you partnering up with Fink? No, I'm not partnering up with Fink at all. Fink is just an evil psychotic.
He is.
You know, he's an evil sociopathic, you know, he's an evil Ashkenazi Jew.
Listen to what he says. He talks about the alleged leader of Christian identity. First of all, to my knowledge, Christian identity has never had a leader except Yeshua. But since that time, it has always been fractured with different viewpoints regionally, different theological viewpoints. Today is the same way. And if he aspires to be the leader of Christian identity, fine, let him be the leader of Christian identity.
That's not going to happen. Like your Greek woman friend said, she says that what I don't like about these people here is that you cannot get them together to have a picnic without all of them going ahead and trying to kill one another. You can't get these people together in one place without them trying to,
sure,
you know, murder each other. These people hate one another. And that is very much the truth. There's just simply no getting along with most of these people at all. And they don't want to get along. And so you end up having this sort of nonsense to where, you know, can you imagine Brian Real and Morris Collette and Alan Truett and Eli James and Bill Fink and all his horde of wandering Mamzers and, you know, John Britton and me going ahead and all sitting down at the same table and having a peaceful meal together. I mean, it is so far-fetched. I mean, I don't see that ever happening. Do you?
I agree with you.
That's never going to happen. In fact, though, the belief that we all can go ahead and, you know, I mean, the only one who goes ahead and whines, "Can't we all just get along?" was the nigger Rodney King. You know, he was the only one who wanted to go ahead and, you know, say, "Can't we all get along?"
That's the Jewish pitch, you know what I mean?
That's the Jewish pitch.
We're all brothers, why can't we get along?
Yeah, why can't we all get along? Well, that's what Eli James was saying toward the end. Old Martin 41 of Finkelschini was saying, "Well, what is this, Love Thy Nigger program?" And, you know, it's quite true. What Eli James was trying to do, and he pretty well, you know, I mean, you know, he didn't really have any choice in the matter. I don't think Eli James had any choice in the matter, because if he had gone ahead and allowed me or Fink to call in, we'd have just simply massacred him. He would not have done very well at all. I mean,
first of all, I mean, I've got no desire to get in a shouting argument with Eli. I mean, I throw in comments every now and then. I disagree with him. To me, here's the way I see things. The idea of beasts and animals being in so-called heaven is ludicrous. Why would they even be there? Why would you want snakes and dogs and skunks and rats and all that crap and niggers and everything else in so-called heaven? The Bible says to be separate. Yahweh says he changes not. So to me, that command in so-called heaven, whatever you want to call it, is where he has absolute control of everything, and there will be no sin or anything else. It seems to me that the idea is ridiculous. Some people say, well, they're going to be our servants. Martin.
I mean, that was the first stupid crap. Here was Greg Howard, Eli James saying, you know, and McFag saying, they're going to be under a dominion. Well, no. We're not going to go ahead and be sitting on our harps. You know, we're not going to be sitting in a cloud playing our harps drinking mint juleps.
Well,
you know, with little niggers like little baboons go ahead and feed them.
I don't like to get on the program. First of all, I've lived in that situation. I can barely remember. I'm older than you are.
Yeah.
The Old South in the 50s. And that's when the niggers were under the whites' dominion. There's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. People cannot imagine what it used to be like. But even then, see, the South has been cursed. They have always had too much integration. These colored people lived in white people's homes to some degree, you know, taking care of kids and everything else. There was always too much mixing, and they've been terribly cursed for that. They shouldn't have had them on their farms. They should have done the labor themselves and not have the colored people involved with them, in my opinion. And in South Africa, the same thing has taken place, too. There was not strict separation. In fact, Eli put this email out about a year or two ago about the Battle of Blood River and how the Boers didn't celebrate that holiday as they were supposed to. You know, it takes too much work, it costs money, blah, 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 blah. Well, I guess the Battle of Blood River was in what year now? 1836, something like that.
It was when the British had gone ahead and told the Boers that they couldn't have niggers. They couldn't have nigger slaves.
I'm not sure exactly.
After the Napoleonic War. So the Boers got all mad, and what they did is they headed toward what was called Natal Province,
right.
which was sort of, it was fertile, but it was, you know, it had lots of mosquitoes and stuff like that. And then later on, the British went ahead and took over that. And then after that, they went ahead and headed toward the High Veld, the High Plains, and formed these Boer republics. And
I'm going to go on the internet right now, look up the Blood River, because I forget if it was 1836 or 1830. But
it don't really matter. I think it was toward the later 1830s. But
let's see the thing. But the thing is that the Boers didn't keep the law, and in 1879 or so, the British crushed them, and.
Well, no, they had two. They had two.
1838, December 16th, 1838. The British crushed it because they didn't practice separation. Look, I live on a farm. There's a hump and a lot of work to do, and I don't really produce any cash crops right now. I just have grass. And I can see why they'd want as much help as possible. The fact of the matter is, at least, if you're going to have colored help, keep them away from the house. You don't bring them in to take care of your kids, to wash your dishes, to do your wash. And that was a fundamental mistake in the South. Look, they're still dying in the South. The niggers and the whites are still living like each other. They're both eating pork, both eating margarine. They're both eating the white bread and everything else, and they're dying. In fact, I was over today to see one of my friends. I bought some mums for our garden.
Mm-hmm.
And the old man, he's got diabetes and high blood pressure, and the it's hard to break. It's hard to the South is very traditional, to use a very pleasant word. They just don't want to change. And
well, no, they don't want to change. What they want to do is that when it comes down to it, they're like Eli James. They actually want niggers. They want to live with niggers. They want niggers to do the hard work, and then they sort of think that somehow the niggers are going to go ahead and go along with it. And, they brought all these niggers into this country, and then they act also surprised that the niggers, when, the Jews went ahead and put them up over the white man, now they act so surprised that the niggers don't want to go ahead and work no more. In Alabama, they passed an anti-immigrant law, and now they're bitching about how the farmers are losing billions of dollars because now they no longer have Mexicans to go ahead and pick this fruit for them. Now, if you really...
Who the hell picked the damn fruit before the Mexicans showed up? This is a bunch of...
Well, this has been years ago. I mean, you've had this Mexican problem ever since, the end of the Second World War, when essentially there were no longer so many really poor Okies to go ahead and do all the little grunt work. And the thing about it is that there's nothing wrong with actually doing this sort of work, and folks, people really shouldn't be eating all this corporate agriculture and profits for the big guys. I mean, essentially, everybody should have his own little farm or his own little local
something,
thing like that here. in any case, what happens is that, let's just go ahead and agree, is that toward the end of the sermon, essentially what they were talking about is having heaven look just like the old South, where Eli James is sort of like the little Sephardic Jew bringing in the niggers into heaven. And what happens is that in heaven we're going to go ahead and have all these non-whites going ahead and, you know, pretty well looking after us here, as if that is what we're going, you know. If you're not going to have marriage again and again and again in heaven, why in the world would you go ahead and want niggers going ahead and doing all the cotton picking and something like that? Are you going to have that in heaven either? And the answer is no.
Heaven is either going to be physical labor. I mean, I don't know, I could be wrong. But I was kind of surprised they made that statement. I hate to agree with Fink, because I don't like Fink personally for a different
reason. No, Fink is, you know, see, the thing about it is that, you know, and what I want is, I want to take a break here in about maybe a few minutes, but Fink has gone ahead and justly ridiculed Eli James's, you know, position. Eli James, essentially the name of that show was called Extermination or something like that.
Right.
And the answer is, and Eli James doesn't seem to realize, is that, you know, he was whining 7 months ago, is that Christian Identity teaches Quakers that Yahweh is going to raise up niggers and Jews and the rest in the great tribulation, you know, after, on the great judgment day, and then send them all in hell to burn forever and ever and ever and ever, pleasing that Baptist, that skillet-licking Baptist retard, Greg Howard. I mean, they're just simply animals. They're not. They don't have a soul.
What?
They don't have no reason to be resurrected.
There are 7 people waiting to join the show. So what are we going to do here?
What we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and take a break, and you're going to call back in about 10 minutes. Okay.
Fine.
All right. Bye bye.
Our flag is proudly floating on the land and on the main. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Beneath it oft we've conquered and will conquer oft again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our Dixie forever, she's never at a loss. Down with the eagle and up with the cross. We will rally round the bonnie flag, will rally once again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our gallant boys have marched to the rolling of the drums. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. And the leaders in charge cry out, come, boys, come. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our Dixie forever, she's never at a loss. Down with the eagle and up with the cross. We will rally around the bonnie flag, will rally once again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. They have laid down their lives on the bloody battlefield. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Their motto is resistance to the tyrants, never yield. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our Dixie forever, she's never at a loss. Down with the eagle and up with the cross. We will rally round the bonnie flag, will rally once again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom.
Alrighty, folks. Where was I? Making sure that it's recording. Alright, I was talking with Russ here, and Eli James, during this last month or so, ever since he was with Jeff Shoup in West Allis, Pennsylvania, you have everyone going ahead and saying, Eli James is a Jew, Eli James is a Jew, Eli James is a Jew. And essentially, the ones who's going ahead and saying it isn't just me. It isn't Ray Larson and his Klan. It's increasingly become old Rabbi William Finkelstein. Hello.
Okay.
All righty. I'm glad you could go ahead and be, you know, and be with us again, Russ. So, where was I? Anyway, I was going ahead and telling people who were not in here when we came, is that you and I were talking. Essentially, what Eli James has had is a problem in that ever since September 2nd, Saturday, September 2nd, when Eli James showed up behind Jeff Shoup at the National Socialist Movement's rally, you've had the problem that people, you know, not only just me, are increasingly say Eli James is a Jew, Eli James is a Jew, Eli James is a Jew. And especially during the last, you know, you've had a number of complaints. You've had Ray Larson go ahead and bring it up, and essentially the movement buzz is Eli James is a Chicago Sephardic Jew. And he went down 2 weeks ago to the to Morris Gillette's quote Aryan Nations Congress, and there's been a number of them since Butler died, mostly by August Christ. And I seen a video where August Christ no longer has any feet; he just has a stump of 1 foot on one leg. He's had a leg chopped off. He's in a jail. I don't think he's been sentenced yet. He's going to go to prison for a while, and they're trying to hold a rally for him. But August Christ held a number of these, you know, bogus Aryan Nations Congresses to where only the members of his faction showed up. So he went down there, and during this last month or so, it's been because Eli James has sought and gotten more and more and more publicity, he's gotten more and more criticism. And recently, William Fink has gone ahead and opened up yet another one of his cookie cup cover web pages, which is pretty well bent on, well, I can't really say slander, because he, you know, because Fink is actually telling the truth for once, is that Eli James is a Jew. Eli James is a, quote, universalist. Eli James is, you know, in many cases, Fink is absolutely correct about Eli James. Eli James is trying to go ahead and Sephardic Judaize and Mamzerize and Maranoize Christian identity by bringing in not only non-whites, but bringing, you know, going ahead and teaching the absurd. That is, well, what happens, we can't be a racist, we can't be a, you know, whites-only racist church. Well, Eli James, by going ahead and bringing in Brian Reel, and I got to laugh when you have someone like Brian Reel, a shit-colored high-yellow nigger, is out-niggering Eli James, the Chicago Sephardic Jew. I mean, isn't it hilarious when, you know, you've heard the term about being out-niggered? George Wallace was a sort of liberal Democrat, and he lost to this liberal Democrat named Patterson way back in the late 50s or early 60s in Alabama, and supposedly he swore, I'll never be out-niggered again. Did you ever hear that story?
No, but I vaguely remember the name Patterson. It's funny enough.
Patterson was a liberal Democrat, and George Wallace started out as a liberal Democrat.
Right.
And what happens is that essentially Patterson got the Klan on his side, and as a result, he ended up being outvoted. You know, he went ahead and beat George Wallace
Okay.
In the primary. And George Wallace supposedly famously said, it was even in his movie, about a decade ago, "I'll never be out niggered again." And then he went ahead and in what, 1962, 1963, at the steps of the Montgomery school district, he went ahead and said, "Segregation today, segregation tomorrow, segregation forever," and then he stepped aside meekly when I think, pretty well when the Kennedys imposed bringing a nigger into school, using bayonets. You know what I mean? And you had the same thing happen in Arkansas, 1957. You had the same thing happen in Alabama.
That's right.
And essentially, for all the talk about states' rights and all the other stupid crap, essentially these schools were integrated, weren't they?
Very true.
The one who went ahead and made the biggest fight about it of all here, the ones who got the only time it got sort of violent, in a little piss pot way, was when the hybrid niggers in Boston had a problem with going ahead and letting the niggers, into the Boston public schools. Remember?
Right.
You know.
Outside of Boston, something like that.
But we were talking about how Eli James had the ludicrous position six or seven, it was about 7-8 months. It was toward the last of December, and it lasted throughout the month of January, and it pretty well petered out, because sides had already been taken, and there had been a break between Rabbi Fink and Rabbi Eli James over this matter. But you do remember, I don't know if you remember, but Eli James had the position is that it is, it is going to be bad for Christian identity for people to think that Yahweh is going to resurrect non-whites on the great judgment day and send them all burning to hell forever and ever and ever and ever. And, I mean, people like me, even then I was getting blocked, I was saying, why is Yahweh going to go ahead and resurrect non-whites? Why is Yahweh going to go ahead and resurrect critters without a soul? Is he going to go ahead and resurrect niggers anymore? That he's going to go ahead and resurrect my poopy dog because he went ahead and got into something that fell off the table and ate it all up?
Would he want to resurrect niggers? Well, why would anyone want to be around them, or spicks or chinks or Jews or anybody? Why would you even want to be around them?
Yeah. I mean, I remember when I was at Nut House, I had a little Guido named Donnie. He said, "Well, I know you're an Aryan Nations character here, and I know, but isn't there any little heaven for little Guidos like me?" And he was a little Guido, but he didn't like niggers at all, and he was really nice to me. So I said, "Well, Donnie, wouldn't it be nice here? I sort of think that maybe Yahweh does have a little special place for you little Guidos. He's going to go ahead and resurrect you little Guidos. Well, you little Guidos can be together, and by day you can go ahead and shoot each other and kneecap each other and do all the little shit the Guidos like doing. Then afterwards, you can go ahead and be resurrected again, and what happens is have spaghetti sauce and pizzas and all that stuff here. Why, it would be so nice if you had a little Guido heaven." And Donnie went away ever so happy, and it cost me absolutely nothing. But folks, I wouldn't want to have niggers in my idea of heaven, anymore. And I don't think it's going to happen. But it didn't cost me anything. I mean, it wouldn't hurt me anything if there was a little puppy dog heaven or a little Guido heaven or a little nigger heaven or whatever. But the Bible isn't about that. Certainly Christian identity isn't about that either, is it?
I'm not sure. I mean...
Do you believe that niggers have souls?
Pardon? No.
No.
No. No.
So, do you believe non-whites have any? Do you believe non-whites or Mamzers have any higher?
Being involved with niggers, chinks, spicks, and gooks and everything else for eternity of time would be its own hell.
Yeah.
Its own hell. And again, when he made those comments to me, I was really surprised. I never thought he would say something like that.
Oh, you had Martin 41, one of the Finkelschini bots, coming in, and he was just simply replying as I went ahead and saved the entire chat. And he was sort of saying, well, what is this? Sort of like a church? You know, what is this? But, you know, has Eli gone all nigger lover on us? And the answer is, yeah, Eli hasn't really gone all nigger lover on us. He's always been nigger lover on us. And the fact of the matter is what Fink has been saying is absolutely correct here. Now, you've heard this crap about
hide. I need to agree with you, but you're right, though.
Yeah, yeah. And, you see, when the fight first started here, it started over, essentially, Emmaheiser. Emmaheiser is not like Bertrand Comparé's. Is not like Bertrand Comparé, because he has a problem with Bertrand Comparé. But Bertrand Comparé's believed is that on the sixth day, Yahweh created the beasts of the field. And he goes in to, you know, Eli James went into the same thing about Nineveh, to where the king of Assyria said, the beasts who have hands. Well, what beasts have hands here? I don't think they imported a bunch of orangutans or chimpanzees or gorillas to downtown Nineveh to have them go ahead and do stuff. What kind of beasts have hands?
Baboons and monkeys.
Well, baboons and monkeys. Do you believe there were a bunch of baboons, monkeys, and orangutans in ancient Nineveh when Jonah went ahead and visited it?
No, it's ludicrous.
That's right. Well, what other kind of beasts? What kind of beasts? People, you know, what kind of other beasts have, have hands and can be dressed up in?
In any event, I was stunned when he made those statements personally.
I wasn't stunned because
he didn't make statements like that before.
I heard the same statements 7 months ago.
Okay. Well,
I heard the same statements. Why in the world should I be stunned when Eli James, I mean, I would have been stunned if Eli James would have gone ahead and said contrary. I mean, he played the little game, it went ahead and blew up in his face, and then he goes ahead and Fink has been going ahead and playing Eli James, saying that there's going to be a little sort of Kazaristan for good Canaanite Jews. There's going to be some good Canaanite Jews, and what happens? They're not going to be exterminated. No, they're going to be going ahead and, you know, put to their own little Kazaristan in probably Southwest Russia or wherever. And I mean, you know, Bill Fink keeps on playing. I think it was the 7th January statement by Eli James.
Let me answer a question from
sure.
Eli James is on talk show at 12 noon Eastern time. This was today. So that's the program we're talking about. At 12 noon Eastern is 11 Central. I don't know what time zone you're in.
Okay. Frank Wigger says every living thing has a soul. And let's just go ahead and define soul. We're not talking about the breath of life. We're not talking about being able to go ahead and take in oxygen or take in nutrients and excrete waste and, you know, essentially breathe if you have lungs. If you want to go ahead and, you know, in some ways you can go ahead and say that monkeys have souls in that they're alive. They have limited.
Monkeys have souls, the bacteria, the trees in the woods, ferns, lawns. I mean, every living thing. Is he going to say sharks in the sea have souls? I don't know.
What we're trying to say is, do they have something which will go ahead and be able to transmute itself? Or act as a sort of data recorder, so that there can be a resurrection, so that there can be eternal life. You know, and the answer is no. Do non-whites have any quote soul in the terms of what we, you know? We're going to go ahead. We're not going to talk about being able to breathe in, breathe out. We're not talking about a living being. We're not going into really the, you know. And that's what Eli James was doing. He was trying to go ahead and do a little song and dance to where there are some creatures, and if you could go ahead and say that because they're alive that they have a soul after a fashion here, well, fine.
Another statement today, which, I mean, it may be true, but I would disagree with it in any event. He said, basically, that he's followed everything that Swift and Comparé, et cetera.
And the answer is he sort of started out that way. What happens? The big fight started. When Emmaheiser, who does not like Comparé, pretty well got sink to go ahead and chimp on Eli James. You know, I hate to admit, but Eli James was far more closer to Comparé, you know, the Comparéan orthodoxy than, you know, Emmaheiser and Fink. Emmaheiser and Fink are all together against the Comparéan, you know, orthodoxy.
The irony of the whole thing, Martin, is that James, Eli used the same argument you do, which I disagree with. I mean, I don't, again, I feel knowledge is increasing, and we shouldn't put Comparé and Swift in concrete and say nothing else can be touched. But well, that's just a difference of opinion.
Well, no, and I am not saying that at all either. What I've been doing on my forum is resurrecting, you know, the Church of True Israel webpage went down at the end of September or the end of August. And what I'm doing is I am trying to go ahead and get it out from under Jarrell Mosley, who essentially I think is just a crippled old evil Mamzer faggot who has sort of gotten, you know, too much control. So I've pretty well saved the Comparéan writings. And I've gone ahead and looked at them. And, yes, they do need to be updated a bit. But the basics, 85% of dual seed line Christian identity is pretty well what Bertrand Comparé set it at in 1957,
1968. If new knowledge comes down the road, new, look, they're making archaeological discoveries. We've learned new things about foreign languages, Paleo-Hebrew, and everything else, and we're just learning more and more, and some of these things may have to be changed, but that's okay. That's a minor point here. Let's answer this guy, you know, Judas Manzer. He says, listen, what's your plan to eliminate feeble-mindedness and white stock? It appears to me, and I could be wrong, that under survival of the fittest, a lot of these people will simply not be able to reproduce or have, be more subject to disease and stuff like that. There are a lot of people in this country who've got asthma or more subject to diabetes or cancer or anything else. And this is just a way of getting rid of them. That's a harsh way to put it, but that's what I see.
Well, the Great Tribulation. I mean, you know, folks, when it comes down to it, really, when it comes down to it, there is no, you know, the only plan I have is what's called the 10,000 Warlords Plan. I went ahead and studied for 2 years at the University of Missouri at Rolla, and I flunked out. Now, I was studying engineering school, and back then, and certainly even now today, if you are taking an engineering course, I'm not talking about history, I'm not talking about political science, I'm not talking about basket weaving, engineering has always been resistant to grade inflation because you either know science or you don't. It's not like history, it's not like law, it's not like this to where a plausible line of bullshit can go ahead and pass. You know, the bridge either has a safety function, it will either collapse or it will not. And engineering school of all of, you know, you went to engineering school, you actually passed it here. I didn't. But what I was saying is that, you know, the University of Missouri, Rolla, it was about the number, it's usually based, you know, it's gone up and down to as high as the number 9 engineering school to as low as about number, 14 engineering school in terms of engineers produced. And the University of Missouri, Rolla, had the way to where you either, if you were not able to make it, scholastically, you had no business going to the University of Missouri, Rolla, to study engineering. So essentially, what happens is the University of Missouri, Rolla, went ahead and first eliminated everyone who couldn't have the intellectual horsepower to make it. Now, when I studied and when I would go ahead and actually study something, well, I would go ahead and learn it, but kinematics was pretty well the death of me. You know, kinematics was pretty well the death of me. I probably should have taken civil engineering instead of mechanical engineering. I loved the thermodynamics. I made the C's. I even made a B in thermodynamics. And I made a B, you know, I went ahead and took an F up to a C, you know, by taking it a la Keller, but I didn't really make, I probably should have taken civil engineering. But, folks, the University of Missouri is like where you had to, engineering school, is that if you couldn't even make it, you had no business up there, and you would be weeded out in short order. Then what you got weeded out was those who wouldn't settle down and study the stuff. Settle down with iron, but study the stuff. And it's the same way with, well, essentially, you either are a, you know, pure-blooded Israelite or you are not. And if you are not, you it's presumptuous to claim that you can go ahead and choose Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ chooses you, and you only have free will if you are able to go ahead and use that free will. You don't, you know, over on Stumbleland, there's this manzer named Apollonian. I know his real name. And Appy, you know, is a sort of Catholic bum. He lives in a dumpster. He goes to a library to post. And essentially, he argues the Roman Catholic is there's no such thing as free will. There's no such thing as free will. There's no such thing as free will. Well, for Appy, that's 100% correct. Appy does not have free will because Appy does not have a higher soul. Appy is not going to go ahead and be resurrected. Appy is not going to go ahead and burn forever and ever and ever simply because he's a mindless mamzer, is he? I mean, that is what Christian identity is about. Christian identity, especially dual seed line holds, there's only two people that really matter. There's only really two people who are mentioned. There's the Adamites, the pure-blooded Adamites, and then there is the Jews. Yeah, and then there is the Jews.
That's the duality of this world.
Yeah, that's the duality. It's dual seed line. There's two seed lines, one good, one evil. That's why it's called dual seed line instead of two seed lines.
All time are good and evil.
Yes.
And they're represented by Satan and by Yeshua. And it appears to me that eventually the seed of Esau will get to all the other peoples on the face of the earth, except the pure blood Israelites.
Except a very small minority. And that is why the purpose of this program, the Movement Turd, is to tell you to stop, do not go ahead and join an above ground movement, because the people involved, and I know almost all the people involved, this is when it comes down to it, is sort of like having the entire population of Italians to choose from, Italian Jews to choose from, Sicilian Guido Jews to choose from, and then asking, of this big population of Italians, how many of them are affiliated with organized crime?
Martin, answer this question.
Sure.
It's an excellent question. This guy in Mass 1488, he says, are Jews going to be resurrected to burn in hell?
The answer is that, Comparé's view is that, no, they are Satan's children. They're Satan's children. They have just a short time to go ahead and do their father's work, i.e. Satan. They are not going to be resurrected. They are not under the law.
Well, will they exist in eternity, or will they be annihilated, just not exist?
They do not have the Adamite soul, so therefore they will not be resurrected to burn. This idea of burning in hell forever and ever and ever and ever, that may be Greg Howard's, idea, but he's a Baptist shithead here. It came up with the Roman Catholic Church going ahead and trying to get mamzers to go ahead and join the Christian Church, lest they burn in hell forever and ever for a while in purgatory.
They will be annihilated. They will cease to exist. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, what happens is that when they die, it's over for the non-Aryan. It's over for the Jew. They are here. They are born. They went around and do their evil for a short time, and then they die. And once they die, they are dead forever. They're not resurrected.
Well, when Christ says, "How can you escape the damnation of hell?" How do you justify that?
And the answer is, how I justify that is that Christ is only talking to the ones who have free will. Only the pure blooded Adamite. He's the only one who has free will. He's the only one who has a soul. He's the only one who will be resurrected to be judged. And no one is going to burn forever and ever and ever in a pit of fire except the immortals, i.e. Satan. That is the one seed line. That's the one seed line, British Israelite Orthodoxy. That's the dual seed line Orthodoxy. The wages of sin are death. It's not immortal life being burned forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. So, these evil creatures, they will exist for a while here. They're on this earth. But the only ones who have free will, the only ones who have a real soul...
Everything we want to do would never be penalized for it. There's no judgment for them.
Well, how can there be... How can you go ahead and judge a creature without a soul... how can you go ahead and do anything more than the death penalty? It's sort of like saying, well, Timothy VeVeigh, he's not been judged. He's been put to death. Well, he's dead now. Well, maybe he is, maybe he isn't. But let's say he's the one gone ahead and violated the law. And, you know, let's not get into, you know, whether Timothy VeVeigh worked alone or not. Timothy VeVeigh violated the law, supposedly was put to death in Terre Haute in 2001. How are you going to go ahead and punish, at least on this earth, Timothy VeVeigh any further? And the answer is you're not. He's dead.
On this earth, you're not going to do it.
No. So why in the world, sin is a transgression of the law. Who is under the law? Are the niggers under the law?
Well, I think when they live in this society, they're under the law.
They're under our law. They should not even live in this society.
True.
I mean, dual seed line Christian identity holds that the obedient Adamites who went ahead and scattered and who were living in Europe, they were not affected by Noah's flood. The Jews who were under Cain, in Mesopotamia, they were not flooded out. The Chinese were not flooded out. The North American Indians who were tearing who were going ahead and killing and eating one another, they were not flooded. There was no punishment. There was no punishment for them. The reason there was no punishment for them is that they neither had souls nor were they under the law. They're not going to go ahead and burn forever and ever and ever. They're just dead. In fact, the original covenant with the Israelites was not eternal life, but if you obey the law of Yahweh as brought down by Moses, and before there was law at the time of Adam, there was law at the time of Enoch, there was law at the time of Noah, there was law even before, there was law from the time that Adam was created, but there was no law upon the non-whites. They do not have a soul, and they're not bound under Yahweh's law. They do whatever they want to do.
Okay,
and so going ahead and yapping stupid crap about how non-whites are going to be resurrected to burn in hell forever and ever and ever, that is a Babylonian. That is a neo-Nimrodian. That is a Hittite. Roman Catholic belief. And like they said, that the Roman Catholic Church, they used to go ahead, the Protestant denominations used to go ahead and say, the Roman Church, the Universalist Church, was Babylon, mother of whores. And then they figured out, when you went ahead and called the Roman Catholic Church the mother of harlots, you were talking about the Protestant denomination. Guess what that made the Protestant denominations, that the Roman Catholic Church is the mystery Babylon, mother of harlots. What does that make the Protestant denominations?
Well,
it makes them into harlots. So they sort of
worry about it. It's not going to affect us. We shouldn't worry about it. Whatever it is.
No, well, the thing about it is that here is Eli James, and Finkelschini and Emmaheiser are absolutely correct here. Now, the thing about it is how is Eli James, as a Sephardic Jew, going to go ahead and say, it's ridiculous hearing Jews and criminals and Mamzers talk about the things of God. I mean, somebody has been spreading their bread before the dogs and the pearls before the swine when they were told not to. Does Brian Real belong in the above ground or the underground dual seed line Christian Identity Church?
I hope never be associated with Brian Real under any circumstances.
That's right. So, but I would say he does not belong. The name of this title is The Show of Your the Countenance Will Testify, Will Bear Witness Against You. And essentially what Isaiah was talking about was these Jews, these obvious Edomite Jews, running around pretending to be Israelite. And they weren't Israelite, were they?
No, they weren't.
No. And so, the fact they did not belong. Recently, Wednesday night, I was listening to Dan John's show, and somebody went ahead and got from old Legal Mamzer 2012 or Legal Man 2012, got the admission that Legal Man said that he was suffering from Crohn's disease. And he said that old Commandork McFag had helped him because Commandork McFag has Crohn's disease. Well, I've done some research on Crohn's disease, and what it is it's an autoimmune disease of the intestines. If you have Crohn's disease, you might as well say that you have Tay-Sachs disease. You know, generally, if there's anybody who ends up getting it, it's because they have some Jewish marker genes. It's a Jew Crohn's disease is a Jew disease, essentially an Ashkenazi Jew disease. That's why yesterday night I was making fun of Eli James and saying, well, you know, not Eli James but McFag, and pretty well just telling Eli James is that he's a Sephardic Jew, so therefore he's not going to get it here. But anyway, it was admitted that Commandork McFag had Crohn's disease, and he was telling Legal Mamzer 2012 how to take care of this Crohn's disease. Well, essentially, McBragg has inadvertently admitted as a proud pick that he's a form of a Jew. And here's Legal Man essentially saying, hey, I have Crohn's disease. Alex Linder has Crohn's disease. What is that, you know? I mean, it's not only to show their countenance, which is going ahead and witnessing against them. It is a disease. If you're going to go ahead and admit you have Crohn's disease, you might as well say you have Tay-Sachs disease. Pretty well, this disease has been around, has been noticed. Unlike Tay-Sachs, which has been a blood disease, which has lasted a while, you have these immune deficiencies, which have showed up during the last century. It was first noticed in 1932. You know, it was named after this Jewish, and essentially you end up having these Jew doctors, and what they're doing is that more and more and more Jewish children are having coming down with Crohn's disease at an early age. Brian Wright had a version of Crohn's. So what you have is that you have all these Jews coming in, and it's not only their faces testifying against them, it's essentially their bungholes.
I just looked here on the search on Yahoo for Crohn's disease Jew, and a couple of internet deals pop up here. Crohn's disease, Jewish genetic disease.
It's a Jewish genetic disease.
Apparently. I'll be damned. Here's this website called MazerMech.com, and it's called Jewish Genetic Diseases.
Well, yeah, I mean, when I went ahead and I was sort of gloating Thursday and Friday after Wednesday night show about how Legal Mamzer, you know, supposedly is Dan John's son, and Dan John's believed to be a Jew. And essentially, Pastor John Britton went ahead and gave me three links. He said, Martin, I sort of thought you were just sort of screwing with these people, but I'll be damned. Crohn's disease is a Jewish disease.
Apparently.
It's an Ashkenazi Jew disease.
What?
It's an Ashkenazi Jew disease. The Sephardics don't get it. Sephardics, it's sort of like breast cancer in men. The Sephardics occasionally go ahead and get Crohn's, but the reason they go ahead and get Crohn's is that it's an Ashkenazi, you know, Hittite, Khazar Jew disease. So if you end up having Crohn's, essentially you have a Jew in the woodpile, in your genetic woodpile.
That's amazing, baby.
Well, McBragg didn't go ahead and, you know, squeal on himself. What happens, Legal Mamzer 2012 went ahead and, you know, pretty well implicated himself as having Crohn's, and, McFag having Crohn's. So pretty well I've been trolling the crap out of McFag here, just saying, well, how come you have a gut-sick Jew, you know, Jew disease here, McBragg? And the answer is, McBragg's a Jew. But do you expect McBragg to go ahead and sit down because he has so much invested in his, you see McBragg. McBragg's delusional, isn't he?
Oh, he's fucking crazy, yeah.
He's delusional. He's completely delusional.
Well, I'm going to send an email out to a whole bunch of people about this Crohn's disease, and some people allegedly have it. This is interesting.
Well, if you have it, I mean, you have supposedly European-looking characters. I met Alex Linder, and Alex Linder looks European, But his behavior is that of a rather furtive little, you know, I still call him the gut sick Guido Weasel, Jew-ass cancer. With, you know, with the picture of Alex Flender, he looks like a little Guido. You know what I mean? But the, when you see him in person, he looks alien. He got light-colored eyes. He got light-colored hair, but, you know, so does Leslie Stahl. Leslie Stahl is an Esterkikis Jew. She's got blonde hair, blue eyes. You know what I mean? She still looks hot, sort of hot at the age of 70 years old.
Well, you know, you don't think she didn't put a buck or two in the faceless and everything else? Come on.
Well, she might very well have gone ahead and had some little nose carving done. I mean, what you have is you have increasingly these Jew doctors, these Jew gastroenterologists here, and essentially what they are doing is they're doing just like they've been doing for Tay-Sachs for the last 50 years. They're teaching people, don't go ahead and get married to where you have this gene, you know, for Tay-Sachs, this blood disease. Don't go ahead and marry, you know, don't go ahead and marry each other. Jews are trying to breed out Tay-Sachs here. But essentially, what happens is that now these Jew doctors are finding out that you have more and more and more Crohn's disease. And usually it strikes, you know, in the 20s and 30s, just like schizophrenia. Schizophrenia is a Jew disease, but now you end up having niggers, and you've had some wiggers start to go ahead and get, you know, the craziness of the Jews as well. You end up having more and more of the, you know, Jew schizophrenia. So you have all these Jew diseases, and Tay-Sachs is a Jew disease, but so is Crohn's, and, you know, so is schizophrenia after a fashion here. And if you end up having, you know, Crohn's, essentially you're having, you know, I mean, This disease was pretty well named in 1932, and you have essentially it's popping up among little Jewets. These little Jews are having it more and more and more and more often here, and that's why I've gone ahead and talked about, you know, Esterkikis is here. If you end up having, you know, I mean, Jew females can go ahead and concentrate through their mitochondrial DNA. They can concentrate the Jewishness. They can concentrate the Jewishness, and they won't suffer near as much. But if you end up having Jews marrying Jews for, you know, more than three or four generations, you end up having a totally screwed up Jew boy, like Cain 1-2-3, you know, or you end up having, you know, like Ixabert.
If this is the case, Martin, then we see that line breeding out, because when it gets bad enough, they just simply will die.
Well, that's you know, see, Eli James being a supporting Jew, that's why he goes ahead and talks about how hybrids, you know, how, you know, hybrids like Jews will go ahead and die out if left to themselves. And he's making the point as a Jew. I just thought of this. He's making the point as a Jew is that if you just go ahead and just put us away somewhere, we will go ahead and die out. And that is true. It is not, you know, but other people like me have been going ahead and saying, well, I don't see these damn beaners. Aren't these beaners hybrids? Answer, yes, they're Mamzers. But do you see?
They are effectively pure Indian. I believe the Spanish mixing with the Indians spread out a long time ago. And what you basically have now in Mexico are essentially pure Indians. When you read,
they're not pure Indians. They're essentially not pure Indians. They're Mamzers. But the thing about it is that Mamzers left to themselves, will not die out.
Hey, look, they've got these TV programs on where they got these people speaking Spanish. They've got these damn good-looking women. I don't know where the hell they come from, but they sure ain't Mexicans. You know, they may be speaking Spanish out of Mexico or Colombia. I don't know where those TV programs come from, but the average Mexican coming across the border, what you call a beaner and everything else, is essentially 100% Indian. He might only be 99%.
Yes. Me and Pastor John Britt have talked about this here. You remember old Nigger Woods, who went ahead and married a Norwegian or Swedish or, you know,
Swedish heifer
or something like that here? In order to go ahead and produce a Beyonce nigger, the input, you know, they have to have white male input in order to go ahead and produce these Beyonce nigglets here. I don't know if you ever seen old Craig Corn Cobb here. He was threatened with rape by a high yellow Beyonce nigglet. See, these, you know, if you have to have Aryan male input. That's why you have these Esterkikises, because left to themselves, yes, they are a hybrid. If they don't have, you know, these Esterkikises, every two or three generations you have a stunning Esterkikis like Josephine Marcus or the rest, And her idea is to go out and seek Aryan inputs to stabilize, you know, the spawn of Satan. And if they don't go ahead and do that, you know, pretty well, their satanic blood, don't go ahead and affect the female so much. It affects the males. It affects the male Jew. And if you go ahead and have three or four generations of pure-blooded Jews, it'll, you know, pretty well, yes, the line of Jews, you know, I mean, essentially, they're, you know, the Tay-Sachs, the Crohn's disease, all the other diseases of the Jew are pretty well concentrated in the male line. That's why the Jew, you know, these Jewesses, every two or three generations, they have to go ahead and get, you know, Aryan input. That's the same thing which happened with the, you know, with the SS and the Lebens, you know, born program. You can't have a Jew that looks like Yitzhak Rabin, who looks like a Nordic Jew, without having Nordic Jew input. Same way with niggers. In order to go ahead and breed a Beyonce nigger, you have to go ahead and have some stupid wigger screw a nigger, you know, a high yellow, you know, nigger like Beyonce. And that's why you end up having, you know, and yes, they're sort of hybrids. But, you know, folks, the Mamzers are not dying out. I don't see, you know, I wish Eli James was right, is that if we just simply would not go ahead and screw or allow any more screwing of beaners to occur, the damn beaners would sort of die out, you know, they all die out south of the Rio Grande. And I don't see that happening, do you?
No, Martin, the beaners are essentially pure Indian. That's what
they're not. No, they're not pure Indian. They're not pure anything. They're still Mamzers. But it don't really matter. I mean, you know, there's no sense in us arguing about this thing.
Okay.
You know, beaners don't belong in white society. We agree on that, right?
You. But they're not going to die out because they are essentially pure Indians.
Okay. I mean, I don't agree with you on that. To me, they're Mamzers. But in any case, what I'm saying is that there's only hybridization here. You've got to understand is that the Bible is only concerned with the sons of true men, i.e. pure-blooded Adamites, and with Jews. And then between the two, there are these evil abomination hybrids who you are not supposed to go ahead and bring under any circumstances into the congregation of Israel. And Eli James has gone ahead and brought in Fink. I don't have any sympathy for Eli James. You know, I mean, I've told you several times is that Eli James is far more dangerous than Bill Fink because Bill Fink is such a psychotic, evil criminal. That essentially, sooner or later, he's going to go ahead and screw you. And most people, once they've got Fink fucked, they don't want to come back for more. Eli James is far more dangerous. But Eli James brought in Brian Rio, didn't he?
True.
Eli James went ahead and had a good deal to do with bringing in William Fink, didn't he?
Oh, absolutely.
So, essentially, when, you know, this fight between Eli James and William Fink is simply a fight between the Sephardic Jews, like Eli James, and the Ashkenazi Jews, like Bill Fink. And there is hatred. There is hatred, just like there is between demons. Between one branch of Jewry and the other branch of Jewry.
In Israel, I understand there is a lot of resentment of the Sephardic towards the Ashkenazi Jews and everything else.
Because the Sephardic Jews are the niggers, are the second-class Jews.
That's right. That's absolutely true.
These Hittites, some of these Hittites were not drowned in the flood. They migrated. You know, these Tubal-Cainites migrated. They had been taught.
That's all when the flood took place.
They had been taught, and the flood, you know, according to Dulce Light Christian Day, only occurred in the Tarim Basin. It only flooded out. You know, I mean, that's Dulce Light Christian Day. Dog orthodoxy as derived, you know, as pretty well stated, pretty well, I think, not for the first time, but it was stated definitely by Bertrand Comparé. And pretty well is, you know, dual seed line. I keep on saying the difference Christian identity holds is that white people are the, quote, lost 10, actually 13 tribes of Israel. And then within that, you have all sorts of British Israelite people. You have all sorts of, you know, sects and denominations and the rest here. And then with dual seed line, you end up having that, well, you know, that the Jews are the literal spawn of Satan created by Satan's seduction of Eve. And the king was the first Jew and that the Jews are the evil bloodline. And then the second portion of it, well, then where did the niggers, where did the beaners, didn't they all get drowned out in the worldwide flood? And the answer is there is no worldwide flood. So that's how dual seed line differs from the rest of Christian identity. And Eli James trying to go ahead and create a kinder, gentler, less racist Christian, you know, dual seed line Christian identity is laughable, isn't it?
The essence of identity is race.
Yeah, it is race. You either are. Oh, you either are a pure-blooded Adamite or you are not.
Right. And this is what amazing people don't realize. You can't equivocate or negotiate or moderate. You either believe a harsh racism or you don't.
Or you don't. And Eli James, as a result, is pretty well just simply, he's just simply sitting out on a limb, and what he's doing is he's taking the saw and he's sawing between where his perch is out on this limb and between the trunk. He's sawing away at this trunk and then saying that Bill Fink, because essentially Bill Fink wants to go ahead and pretend to be Christian identity, even though he's a Jew, Bill Fink is wrong, 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 wrong. And the answer is that that's not going to go ahead and get...
Well,
Fink is absolutely right here, but Fink's a dirty lying Jew, but yes, he is right. And it's not going to go ahead and get any better for Eli James.
Well, I think once it starts to sink in, today Greg Howard was saying, and I can see why he said it, but I disagree with him. He said it's unfortunate we have all this disagreement and contention and all this sort of stuff, but Greg, the thing is that the truth comes out as a result of contention. Call it name-calling or whatever else. It makes people tougher. It sharpens your arguments. It sharpens your insight as to what is going on. That's one of the reasons that Gerald doesn't like my comments about Judah. I mean, I made a very harsh comment today about Gerald, which my daddy had polio, just like Gerald has. I hate polio as a disease, but Gerald brings up some of this crap for months now. It just got to me. I said, Gerald, just because you're crippled, your body doesn't mean, or it's too bad you're crippled in your body, but you don't have to be mind crippled. I'm sure he didn't like that comment at all, but maybe he'll think about it a little bit.
No, Gerald Mosley, I think, is a manzer. I think he's a crippled, evil, I think he's a crippled, evil, twisted manzer. Folks, there's something when it is altogether a lie. If you go ahead and bring in violation of Deuteronomy 23, verse 2, when you bring in a manzer like Brian Rio, I have seen Clifton Emmaheiser, I've seen Bill Fink, and they talk all about this racism, 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 and here they are going ass to mouth with a manzer faggot like Brian Rio. I mean, the character looks like a nigger. Some cases, and he looks like a gook. I mean, one time he was showing himself in a picture of his Toyota. I said, "Nah, that ain't Brian Rio. That's some gook here in this Toyota." And then they said, "Well, okay, if it's just some gook, it's not Brian Rio. How come that picture is on his blog?" And I went and looked, and you're right. It was on his blog, so I was wrong. Brian Rio sometimes looks like a nigger. Sometimes he looks like a beaner. Sometimes he looks like a gook. But he never looks like a white man. Never looks like a white man. Here are these people talking about how racist they are, how racism is the way to go, and yet they have Brian Rio there. Well, folks, if you are going ahead and bringing in a mamzer, that just goes to show when it comes down to actually living what you preach, you don't really believe what you preach, do you?
Well, let me tell you something. Up until today, if I had to defend Eli James, I would have said, you judge him by his works. But
you don't judge him by his works. Yahweh doesn't judge him by his works. Yahweh doesn't judge him at all. He's a Jew.
Well, whatever Yahweh does. But when Eli comes out with this business about the non-whites having a place and being resurrected, or whatever the hell he's destroyed. He's destroyed his legitimacy as far as I'm concerned.
He was saying, he was saying the same thing. He was saying the same thing 7 months ago.
Well, I guess I didn't pick it up.
He was, Fink picked it up. Fink chose that time to go ahead and turn on him. And Brian Rio sat around for about a week or so. And then if you want to hear something hilarious, go ahead and look at the, January show with Brian Rio, to where Eli James is doing the tap dance. and Maui Patricia, and, you know, Maui Patricia and Brian Rio decided, you know, Brian Rio figured out is that, hey, Eli, you know, Eli James is pretty well on the wane, and he went with Fink for a while. You know what I mean? Now, he's disappeared the last month and a half. I have no reason, you know, I have no reason to know, you know, why he has. But what you have throughout this movement here is that you have anonymous Mansers thinking that they can go ahead and pull down, you know, leaders who are out in front here. But, folks, there's no unity in Christian identity. There's not supposed to be unity. Unity is what Nimrod wanted to impose. He wanted to be the emperor of the world. Cain wanted to be the emperor of the world. He did his best to bring in the Adamites. And when the Adamites first moved to the Tarim Basin, it was probably in reaction to to Cain, just as the United States was in reaction to the Soviet Union. Remember?
What do you mean the United States or Soviet Union? I think Great Britain or something. What do you mean Great
Britain? Well, what happens is that you remember the Cold War, and when the United States and the Western world, the first world was at war with the second world, i.e., in a Cold War, not a shooting war, with the communist world of the Russians and the Chinese and the rest. Remember?
Right.
So, what people cannot understand is that the United States is both Zog and Babylon. It's both Israel and the New World Order. And the ascension, it's been this way ever since Cain has been created. We have had Jews among us ever since, and the Jews have tried to go ahead and breed out the Adamites so that Satan could say, ha ha ha, fooled you, Yahweh, there's not a single Adamite left.
Those guys don't like my comments about Sheila and the Shilites being tied in with the descendants of Judah in the 430-year-plus occupation plus in the wilderness. They don't want to hear that kind of stuff, but it happens to be the truth.
Well, you had the Shilites, you had these Canaanites. I mean, you had Esau. Esau was a Whigger. Ham was a Whigger. He went ahead and he had some Jew pussy off of Naamah. I went ahead as guest number 6 when he was sort of polite. Well, where did Canaan come from? Well, Canaan supposedly came, according to Eli James, it came from essentially Ham raping his mother, Naamah, and, Cain was the son of Naamah. Well, the answer is that I guess the name Naamah before the flood was as common as, say, Susan, or, you know, Susan, you know, was in the 60s, you know, for little girl babies, or, you know, essentially, Naamah was both the name, of Noah's wife, you know, Ham's mother, and of Tubal Cain's sister.
Was Eve, Martin.
Huh?
Cain's mother.
I'm sorry, the mother of Ham, Noah's wife,
story.
Her name was Naamah.
Okay.
Noah's, you know, Ham's wife, Jew wife, was Naamah as well, Tubal Cain's sister. I guess the name Naamah was as common to females as Susan used to be in the 60s, or Shirley used to be in the 30s, or I guess Kelsey or Heather or whatever is nowadays. I don't know what, you know, common female name there is nowadays. But there was probably a style, just like it was in Noah's day, to go ahead and name a bunch of these females Naamah. So Noah's wife was called Naamah, and so was Tubal Cain's sister. Tubal Cain was a descendant of Cain. Therefore, Naamah was a sister of Cain. The reason, and dual seed line, goes ahead, and Eli James, he does the same thing. He goes ahead and he takes from the Talmud, the Jew Talmud, you know, perversion of Jasher, to where Ham was cursed by Noah, Canaan was cursed because Canaan was the bastard son of Ham's incest with his mother. And Emma Heiser and Eli James, they come up with this stupid crap directly from the Talmud, the Talmudic perversion, and they don't seem to realize or care that they are going ahead and undercutting themselves on dual seed line Christianity. Folks, if you do not have Jews being the descendant of Cain, then you do not have dual seed line. It got drowned out in the flood. So you've got to go ahead and have Canaan be the descendant of the Kenites, or of the Cainites, you know, through Ham. That's where you have to go ahead and have it if you're going to have dual seed line Christian day, because otherwise they got drowned in the flood.
Right. Oh, I agree with
you. You know, so essentially, Eli James, he's taken this crap directly from the Talmud, you know, because the Talmud has the exact self-same story. The actual story is that Ham ended up having, from my gather, he had a white wife, you know, and the main son, the eldest son of the, you know, Ham and the white wife was called Mizraim. That's why the Farah Fenton calls the Egyptians, instead of calling the Egyptians, calls them Mizraimites. Because you had people in Egypt, before the flood. Bertrand Comparé, you know, goes ahead and dates the flood at 3145 to 3142 or so. But, you know, the main flood was for about a year in length. But, from what I gather, the boat came on. But anyway, the dual seed line Krishna dates belief here. And I don't know everything about, Genesis chapter 9. I don't like the idea that Japhethites are allowed to go ahead and live within the tents of us, descendants of Shem. But, you know, I mean, that was Yahweh's will, and therefore, you know, or that was Noah's will, and I can't go ahead and doubt it. But, you know, the dual seed line Krishna identity belief is that the Naama that Ham had sex with was Tubal Cain's sister, and she gave birth to a little dirty kike, you know, a little big Jew, a Cainite, who became known as Canaan. And that's why Canaan was cursed. Not Ham. Ham was not cursed. Canaan was cursed. Why was Canaan cursed? Because he was a detestable, dirty little Jew. Is why he was cursed. And that is the dual seed line, Christian and Dandy, orthodoxy, according to Comparé.
Yeah, but Ham was a Jew, too.
Huh?
Ham was a Jew, too.
No, Ham was not a Jew.
Okay.
Folks, you know, we're getting into British Israelitism as defined by this Jew named David Hines. And essentially, when I was in the Worldwide Church of God, I learned, well, if there was a worldwide flood, you know, where did all the Jews and niggers and beaners come from? And gooks. And according to the Worldwide Church of God, is that Noah was a perfect generation, but because Noah was a perfect generation, he goes ahead and he allows his son, oldest son Ashkenaz, to marry a gook. He allows his middle son, Shem, to marry the white woman. He allows his son, Ham, to go ahead and marry the nigger. And that's where you end up coming. I mean, this thing about Ham marrying the niggers, you know, was from Genesis chapter 9 to where they went ahead and, justified enslaving the children of Ham because they were supposed to be servants forever and ever and ever. This is mainly Southern Baptist horseshit here about Ham marrying a nigger, and it crept in.
Who did Ham marry then? Who did Ham marry then?
Ham married a Jewess. Ham married a white woman who gave birth to Mizraim, who was the Egyptians. He married a Jew. He married a dirty Jew here named Naama, who was Tubal Cain's sister, the line of Cain. And from what I gather on the, you know, somewhere, he went ahead and he found him a nigger and he screwed that. And she gave birth to Cush, who was the father, of Nimrod. And Ham was not only a wigger, he was a thief who went ahead and stole the garments of power. And Ham stole them from Noah. They were supposed to go to either Shem or, you know, they were probably supposed to go to Shem, but they didn't. They went ahead and got to Nimrod, and that's why he became a mighty slayer, because he had dominion over the beast. And not only dominion over the four-footed beast, he had dominion over the two-footed beast. So as a result, he was able to go ahead and found the second Zog Babylon, of Babylon. Babylon just simply means babble, 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 because people couldn't understand, because Nimrod and Semiramis, which was another little Jew bitch, wanted to go ahead and form a worldwide empire where they could go ahead and miscegenate away, you know, everything here. That's why Rome is disliked here, because Rome went ahead and destroyed, you know, genetically destroyed France in many cases by killing off the pure-blooded, and bringing it up to where, you know, the Romans could go ahead and breed and misbreed. So essentially, the Roman Catholic Church is a Mamzer church. It's a universal church here. But you do notice that, guess what? What happens to Eli James? He's a supposed Catholic here. Bill Fink, another supposed Catholic. Brian Ringer went to a Jesuit university. He's a Catholic. What you end up having is you end up having these Babylonian Mamzers come in to Christian identity, and they're trying to go ahead and change it into a Mamzer religion. They're trying to turn it into Zog Babylon the Third.
Women and everything else are all universalists now.
Well, yeah, they're universalists here. The idea you can have unity. Yahweh's way is not of unity. It's not to have one man. It's not to have one man over the entire race to where he can go ahead and then make or pass legislation to where there's nothing more than miscegenation. But now we have on the third Zog Babylon, just like Daniel 2:42 says, is that the fifth beast here will be of mixed iron and clay. It will not cleave together, and it will mix the seed of men. Folks, if that is not Zog Babylon, you know, the third and final like today, I don't know what Zog Babylon is here. Zog Babylon, the third and final, is the United States. It is, you know, it is the beast. It is the fifth beast. Pretty well to where Jews and, you know, Shabbos wiggers go ahead and are trying to literally breed out the very last of the Adamites so that Satan's work through Satan's children can be done, and so Satan can go ahead and point out to Yahweh, see Yahweh, your plan has been destroyed because there's not a pure blooded man left of the Adamic race. And it got that self same way in this big old Zog Babylon during Noah's time. He was a man of perfect generation.
I'm getting tired. I agree with you. We're headed down to 8 white people on the face of the earth. That's when Yahweh will come back.
Well, no, there were more than 8 white people on the face of the earth. There were the ones in Europe, but they were not under one man here. They were not an evil empire. See, Yahweh, yo, this evil empire has been to where they get under one man and under one system of government, and then they go ahead and breed away. As long as you have had numerous white governments, and all Yahweh promised David was that one of his seed would rule somewhere. And so Yahweh had no problem with going ahead and splitting off 10 tribes under Jeroboam. He didn't have any problem with that. Yahweh's way is not unity under one man, under one whip, under one Zog. It is independence. And all these people who are seeking independence in the Baal movement or under, you know, one world government, essentially what they are is they are the followers of Cain and they are the followers of Nimrod. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and let you go. I mean, you know, essentially what happens is this fight between Eli James and Bill Fink is nothing more than a fight between the Sephardic Maronite Jews and the Ashkenazi Maronite Jews. And Eli, you know, and Brian Real is just a Mamzer which has gone ahead and been looking for which side he thinks is going to win. But he sort of disappeared.
I knew that a long time ago. But
okay.
Anyway, okay.
All right, well, talk to you later, Ross. Hail victory. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and let Russ go now. And it seems like it's time to go ahead and take a break. So, folks, we're going to go ahead and be back in about maybe 10 minutes. Hail victory.
When enemies say nothing, when you talk about you know what, or if you know who should hear, you know what you'll get. It'll take you off, you know where, you wouldn't know how long. So for you know who's sake, don't let anyone hear you sing it clearly. When enemies say nothing, when you talk about you know what, or if you know who should hear, you know what you'll get. It'll take you off, you know where, you wouldn't know how long. So for you know who's sake, don't let anyone hear you singing this song. You all know what I'm speaking of when I mention you know what, and I fear it's very dangerous to even mention that. For the other ones are always near, although you may not see. And if anyone else will tell you that, please don't mention me. And whatever you say, say nothing when you talk about you know what, or if you know who's gonna hear, you know what you'll get. It'll take you off, you know where, you wouldn't know how long. So for you know who's sake, don't let anyone hear you singing this song. You all know who I'm speaking of when I mention you know who. Or if you know who should hear you, you know what he do. So if you don't see me again, you'll know why I'm away. And if anyone asks you where I've gone, here's what you must say. Whatever you say, say nothing. When you talk about you know what, or if you know who should hear you, you know what you'll get. They'll take you off, you know where to go. So you know who sings, don't let anyone hear you singing this song. Well, that's enough about so-and-so, not to mention such-and-such. And a better end my song, I've already said too much. For the less you say and the less you hear, the less you'll go astray. And the less you think and the less you do, the more you'll hear them say. When you talk about you know what, for if you know who should hear you, you know what you'll get. They'll take you off, you know where, but you wouldn't know how long. So for you know who's sake, don't let anyone hear you singing this song. And whatever you say, say nothing, nothing. When you talk about you know what, for if you know who should hear you, you know what you'll get. They'll take you off, you know where, but you wouldn't know how long. Do you know who's sick? Don't let anyone hear you singing this song. Do you know who's sick? Don't let anyone hear you singing this song.
Okay, folks, we're back. I'm recording again. I've gone ahead and I've looked at the chat. Let's just go ahead and cover real quickly what is going on in the chat here. Pretty well, we had Russ on there. I didn't really get on to the chat till a little bit after 8 o'clock Central Time. And the reason I didn't do that is that I had problems logging on to TalkStew. And occasionally TalkStew does go ahead and do that. Last, you know, Thursday, it was real bad to where it took me about an hour and two attempts to go ahead and get on TalkStew. Okay, I was looking at this thing. Someone went ahead and says, why, you know, Frank Wager went ahead and asked, well, why do you, if you're going to do all the talking, why do you bother call Russ? And the answer is that it's sort of like Socratic dialogue to where I go ahead and in some cases I do not, you know, this is not like the Brian Rio, Sword Mamzer, Finkelschini show to where essentially or like the stilt licking Wager tard Greg Howard and Eli James to where it's yes, you know, yes sir, no sir, three bags full sir. Russ often disagrees with me. Russ very often disagrees with me. But what I'm trying to do is, since I have somebody on the show, is to go ahead and give as best I can some Christian identity teaching. And Russ did not come to Christian identity as a child. In a different show, he went ahead and said that for 25 years he was a Mormon. He was a converted Mormon. Russ didn't find Christian identity till probably he was in middle age. And I'm suspecting he came to it through the Worldwide Church of God. That's where most of the Ephraim's Scepter people come from. To where Judah is of the Jews, and that's what Herbert Armstrong used to teach, is that Judah was of the Jews, but since Judah was not a very obedient person here, why, oh, he pretty well lost his scepter, or lost this, or lost that, to the true Israelites, the tribe of Joseph, of Ephraim and Manasseh, and pretty well that is how, you know, British Israelitism tried to go ahead and explain. And in British Israelitism, you had the belief that Ephraim, the younger brother who was favored over Manasseh, the older brother. And folks, there has been, if you go ahead and look in the Bible, there's always been a, you know, even though the firstborn was supposed to get a double portion, his birthright was to be a double portion. Let's say you had seven sons. You know, a man died, he had seven sons, and upon having the seven sons,
You know, the daughters would be married away. They'd be going ahead and giving a dowry. But essentially, the man's inheritance, what he had, the farmstead he had, would be divided into 8 portions, and the oldest son would have the double portions. And if there was not room for the other ones, they would go ahead and go to other fields. You've got to understand that the land of Canaan really could not hold more than 3 million Israelites. Back in the days before modern transportation and refrigeration and all that, it really could not hold more than 3 million Israelites. It was 3 million who went ahead and left, but they were a mixed multitude. By the time you go ahead and have them, after 40 years of Yahweh putting his thumb on how many people would die, you no longer had a mixed multitude. So what would happen to, let's say there was no prospects, because folks, you didn't have usury. After 50 years, the inheritance, if it was sold or something, would go ahead and go back to the original owners. So what happened to a man who had more than 2 sons or something like that? What happened to the son number 3, son number 4, son number 5, son number 6, and son number 7? The answer is that in many cases, they were already migrating to the British Isles. They were heading east to Parthia, to Persia. They were going ahead and going north to Greece. In many cases, in the case of Ireland, you end up having the Danites, and you ended up having the Judahites here, or the younger brother of Zerah. There was really no place for both. Phares was the oldest, even though Zerah stuck his hand out of the womb, and this is where the red hand comes from. He pulled his hand back. And as a result here, that's where the Ostermen come from. They come from the tribe of Zerah, with the red string around the hand. So you had all these people, this extra population, you had them going ahead and migrating otherwise here. And, I'm of the belief, and I'm not going to go ahead and make it, is that you have somewhere around 7,000 years ago, you ended up having a sort of a racial change in the Cro-Magnon man. And folks, I believe it was the Adamites going ahead and marrying into the white Cro-Magnons and going ahead, and because they did that, going ahead and making them Adamites, making them of Israel. I believe that, Abram had other brothers, and at first here, for the ruling bloodline, for the number one bloodline, which they were looking, yes, they married their first cousins. In the case of Seth, he married his sisters. But folks, Adam, I don't believe, was even the first white man. You have evidence that way before Adam was created, approximately 7,000 years ago, you have these Cro-Magnon men who have been around for at least 40,000 years, white Cro-Magnon men. And Harold Covington's talked about how, the average Adamite or something like that, the average white man seems to be less small, with less, diminished brain capacity. And the answer of it is that if you go ahead and look at it, they practice female infanticide. They practice a number of things. But folks, I don't believe Adam was the very first white man, but he was the very first white man who had a soul. So when you talk about these beasts of the field, you are talking about people who have not been brought into the body politics. You go ahead and look at the laws of war on Deuteronomy chapter 19. When you are going against a white city, what you do is you tell them to surrender or die. And if they surrender, then they are your slaves for a number of generations. But eventually, they become Israelites. Folks, it's sort of like in this country to where it was called a melting pot because you had Israelites of different tribes going ahead
and they were all Israelites, even though, you know, say, in the case of my great-grandfather, when he moved to South Dakota, he went in and found a Bavarian. Now, Prussians in the old, in Germany, usually did not marry Bavarians. Bavarians and Prussians were not too friendly, but in the New World, my great-grandfather Ernst Schmidt married an Adebar, who came, an Adebar woman. I forget what her name was. I think it was Martha or something. Married a, Martha or something like that. Married an Adebar, who was a Bavarian. Now, in Germany, that wasn't likely to happen. Any more than a Massachusetts site would marry a Mississippian. So, in the New World, different people of German lineage, a Prussian, married a Bavarian. And it was not, taking a mess here. The Lindstedts married into the Schmidts. These Swedes married into these Prussians, who they thought were the best of the Germans. But my grandmother, Ella May, Emma Ella May Schmidt Lindstedt, considered herself a Prussian after her dad. Not a Bavarian, a Prussian. But, Fred Lindstedt was pretty well, he had a number of things to say, even about Norwegians. He wasn't too crazy about Norwegians. He thought they were sneaky and not to be trusted as much as a genuine Swede. So, but obviously, I guess he liked Germans, or he liked Prussian Germans anyway. So, folks, my lineage comes, at least from, it comes from the Baltics. Most of my lineage comes from the Baltics, although I'm, ashamed to say I have some my grandpa Fred called Jenny Irish, which were Scots Irish. So, of the northern persuasion, not the southern persuasion. So, in any case, you end up having a melting pot. Now, I went ahead and looked on FAEM. They were talking about Hal Turner. Hal Turner claimed that he could go ahead and trace his lineage back 15 generations. And pretty well, Robert Friends went ahead and said, what you're doing is that if you can go ahead and trace it, that's to where if you went ahead and discounted every single ancestor of yours, there's about a couple hundred thousand of them, it's going to, one a day, it's going to end up taking you, 180 years, at pretty well making sure you check out, devote one day, every day, for the next 180 years here, you'll be able to go ahead and ascertain who your 15 generations of ancestors were. And then they went ahead and simply said that they thought Hal Turner was half Jew. Well, Robert Fred wasn't too crazy about Hal Turner. So, what you end up having is, I went ahead and talked to, Russ Walker. Is that Russ Walker came to Christian Identity rather late, and I was trying to teach him something. And in teaching something, go ahead and teach the rest of the people this here. And while I was talking, yammering on, I had an insight. Eli James's account of where Canaan came from is taken directly from the Talmud perversion. That's why I have a little bit of trouble with these apocryphal books, because the Jews have had access to them. They've had access to the Bible. That's why the King James Version comes through with the Masoretic text. And the Masoretic text is a perversion of about 300-500 years working of the Septuagint. That's where that Masoretic text comes from. So do we go ahead and throw out the King James perversion? The answer is no. I go ahead and use it because that was the Bible that I learned from. And everybody has a King James version. Not a new modernized one here, but usually from what I gather, the 1769 version or something like that. So, when I go ahead and look at it, I go ahead in search of it, not from any other version, not from the Flora Fenton. I mean, if you're really going to go ahead and study it, yes, you need a concordance. But, folks, I'm not really into teaching detailed dual seed line Christian identity, in large part because, folks, I'm trying to go ahead and teach you the basics of dual seed line Christian identity to where you can go ahead and just have a glance and figure out if someone's a Manser, he doesn't belong in the congregation. But Eli James is teaching that essentially Ham went ahead and knew his father's nakedness, and therefore he had sex with his mother Naama, and she gave birth to Cain, and Noah didn't even go ahead and, you know, didn't even have a cross word with Ham here over supposedly raping Mama or seducing Mama here and giving birth to, you know, Canaan, which is the Talmudized version. The dual seed line Orthodox version holds is that the Naama that, you know, that Ham had sex with, and from my gather, Ham was just a beast of lechery, had was with this Naama who was the sister of Tubal Cain, and therefore Canaan was cursed because he was of the spawn of Satan. And therefore, even if Ham went ahead and saw his father's nakedness or did something that he shouldn't have done, if he showed massive disrespect to his father when he was drunk or anything like that, well, guess what? It didn't rise to the level of a capital crime. It didn't even rise, it seems to me, from anyone doing anything more and saying, hey, ain't that Ham? He's just a worthless piece of shit. And leave it at that. So, folks, I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break. I have somebody bellowing for me to go ahead and fix her leg, and we'll come back in about 15 minutes. Hail victory. Zogling squirrels and zogling goys will always sit down and suck whatever lies we recognize. We don't give a fuck. There's a lot of goose dead, so we can sleaze and piss at night while we lie off our heads. My daddy served in the army where he lost both his nuts. Clown flew that rag out our yard till the day that it died. It warned my mother, my brother, my sister and me to grow up and live stupid in the land of the free. Now this empire that I loathe is falling under attack. A mighty G-cock sucker come deadling zog up the ass. As soon as we can see dimly through our dumb black eye, Mamsers, we lit up your shithole like the 4th of July. Hey, Uncle Zog will put your name at the top of its list, and the statue of Jimmy Grunt stop flapping her tits. And this eagle will shit, and it's gonna be hot when you sniff manly freedom, skanky old twat. You'll feel like Zog shitstorm is coming down on you. All brought to you courtesy of the Rottweiler and Jew. Oh, justice will be served and the kitelings will rage. This big old dog will shit when you rattle its cage, and you'll be sorry that you messed with the Jewess of A. Because we'll put our tongue up your ass. It's a Zogling fag way. Hey, Uncle Zog, we'll put your name at the top of its list, and the statue of Jimmy Grunt clapping her dick. And the eagle will shit, and it's gonna be hot when you sniff Mammy Freedom, skanky old twat. You'll feel like Zog shit storm is tearing me down on you.
all brought to you courtesy of the Rock Wigger and Blue. Oh, whoa, 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 of the Rock Wigger and Blue. Oh, shit, whoa, whoa, of Wigger's Red Walker and Blue. Okay, folks, we're back. It's about a few minutes till 10 o'clock. I, for whatever reason, didn't sleep too much, and I got about 2 hours sleep, and I went ahead and trolled Eli James's show, and I got the results of the trolling. But right now, I'm going to go ahead and look through the chat. Someone was talking about how never-ending torture is a pagan concept. Well, folks, the Roman Catholic Church arose... You know, it rose out of Nimrod, it rose out of Semiramis, you know, on the second Zog Babylon. And the idea of having an ever-burning hell for evildoers essentially is not a Christian, or it's not a Israelite idea. The ancient Israelites, when they were given the law, you know, by Moses, went ahead and essentially Moses never promised them, well, not only a rose garden, but he never promised them eternal life. What he promised them, you know, under the old covenant, is that they would have healthy children, a long life, a prosperous life, a good life, in the land of Canaan, which Yahweh was giving to them. Not eternal life. The thing about the eternal life was pretty well with Jesus Christ expanding the law to where now you have to obey the spirit of the law, not just the letter of the law. And with that expansion also came an expansion of the rewards. But folks, you cannot go ahead and, you know, you end up having this talk about fruits here. That's Dan John's horseshit here, but it rises out of the Roman Catholic Church. If you go ahead and do penance, you know, the Roman Catholic Church is about works. It's not about race at all. In fact, most of Roman Catholicism is no longer white. In fact, the Protestant Reformation was a reformation by the Nordics and the Aryans to no longer go ahead and essentially subsidize all these Mamzers, all these Guidos, all these, you know, critters in Italy, far off Italy. What happens is that when Henry VIII didn't get his way, he went ahead and he got rid of it. He'd previously denounced Martin Luther, but what he did is during the Reformation, well, they pretty well reformed it. And the main reform was is that the northern Aryans went ahead and left the Mamzers behind. No more Mamzers. We're not going to go ahead and pay Peter's Pence or Peter's Peter, you know, Peter's altar boy Peter, to essentially these mackerel snappers, these Catholics, these lesser beings. And essentially it was a 30-year-old war which went ahead and sealed the Reformation in place to where there's not going to be any more religious wars because they get so violent and they get so out of hand. And a lot of people, date the modern state, the rise and fall of the modern state, by the Jew historian Martin van Creveld. And folks, if there's any book by a Jew that I would go ahead and recommend reading, it would be that one. But in any case, you've had ever since the Canaanites trying to go ahead and get religious control over the Israelites, and they've tried to go ahead and subvert what is actually said and actually done. So, where was I? Okay, I'm looking at the chat. I'm getting back to where the Roman Catholic Church was founded by Simon Magus. It was founded by this Chaldean, by this Babylonian. And you've had throughout human history here. And usually, when we're talking about recorded history, we're talking about, really, about, oh, well, pretty well 5,
5,000 years or so. Actually, the beginnings of history starts with pretty well what you end up having in the Fertile Crescent, you know, Mesopotamia and in Egypt, to where people decided as a result of their tithe, you know, as a result of their, well, essentially to go ahead, the very first writing was set up as a sort of a tax receipt or a tithe receipt. Essentially, so-and-so peasant has gone ahead and given me this many measures of grain, this many measures of his goods and kind. You ended up having, actually, the very first coins were essentially, you know, the coinage, the idea of coinage, as opposed to just simply weighing out measures of gold, supposedly dated from, you know, Lydia, where they had on the ground what was called electrum, which was nuggets of mixture of gold and silver. And what they did is that they took these nuggets and they squeezed them with an imprint, essentially of the, you know, of a standard weight, and with a picture of their gods or something like that. Here, Croesus. Here comes Cyrus. Well, Cyrus, you know, when did Cyrus, you know, when did Cyrus come into play here? Answer: right around 560 BC. So, folks, we end up having coinage. And the coinage is only, what, 2,500 or so years old? The actual coinage? When is writing date? Actually, oh, probably around 6,000 years or so ago. And it started out as just nothing more than a temple tax receipt, but it was used for other things. It was used for other things as well. So, where does all this stuff come from? Where does this stuff come from? And the answer is, it comes, you know, it didn't just sort of appear all of a sudden. Didn't appear all of a sudden. So what to say? What to say? What to say? Folks, let's not be too surprised. Let's not go ahead and be too surprised if you've had this wanting to go ahead. In the case of Cain, supposedly Cain wanted to go ahead and bring in his Adamite half-brothers and half-sisters under his rule. And he is so upset still that he was the son of the gardener and he got unjustly kicked out. He got unjustly kicked out of his position as the son of the gardener. Folks, you've had the exhibit of Jews to go ahead and put the Adamic man under one unified whole. And what is the purpose of having a unified government? The answer is to have a unified government so that you can go ahead and miscegenate the sons of Adam. That's exactly what it is here. Dual Seedline Christian Identity is, you know, in many ways here, the most, it's the most freedom-loving and independent of all religions. It isn't about going ahead and being obedient. It isn't about going ahead and being under one man. And anybody who goes ahead and says it is trying to go ahead and create something that doesn't and shouldn't exist. That's exactly what they're trying to do. So when, you know, people say, well, you are against unity, you are causing trouble, you are splitting up Christian identity. Well, folks, under what? Under a Sephardi Jew like Eli James? Under an Ashkenazi Jew like Bill Fink? I don't think so. I don't think that is, you know, wanting to do at all here. So, anyway, I'm looking at the chat right now. Let's just go ahead and get back to the chat. The Assyrians were white. Okay. Friendly reminder, the Assyrians were white. That is true. So why? You know, Asher was, I think, the eldest son of Shem. Now, dual seed line Christian identity holds is that Noah, since Noah was a perfect generation, and his sons, therefore, were a perfect generation as well. And, folks, it's the British Israelite version, the one seed line version, which goes ahead and holds that Japheth married a, yellow woman, and that, Ham married a nigger, and that's what you get to where the sons of Ham here are condemned to, be nigger slaves forever and ever and ever, because that's what it said in Genesis chapter 9. That was a Southern Baptist. That was a Southern Baptist interpretation. Now, where'd they get it from? Well, they got from these Catholic slaveholders. Folks, bringing these niggers to the New World, essentially, it was these Merino Jews, named the Lopez's and the Gomez's and number, and Yankee sea captains, and then a whole bunch of, Whiggers and the rest were sailors, which went ahead and brought these niggers to this country. Most of the slave ships were owned by Jews, and that's what Calypso Louis Farrakhan says as much here. But getting on to the Assyrians, your average Syrian was Aryan. He was a son of Shem. So how come you see so many critters with big old hooked Jew noses, and that makes them quote Semites? Why do you have so many pictures of the ruling classes having hooked noses? And the answer of it is that Cain's descendants, an Assyrian. Assyrian was a mixture of Sumeric letters, for the words. It wasn't an alphabet. The alphabet occurred around 1000 B.C. The alphabet as we know it today, the concept of alphabet is around, 3,000 years old. Before then, with the Egyptian hieroglyphics, with the Chinese characters, with the Sumerian characters, is that pretty well a symbol on the parchment or the clay or whatever was a symbol of an entire thing here. Why, if a peasant donated a cow, or he donated a sheaf of wheat, or he donated a certain weight or measure, and by the way, it was Cain who went ahead and created the weights and measures. If he went ahead and created a certain weight or measurement here, why, that was good enough for a temple receipt. So the alphabet is rather a new invention here, 3,000 years old. The writing is about 5,000 or so years. So that would go ahead and relate to where the flood was. I guess before the flood, you didn't have too much writing. Certainly not among the first Zog Babylon of Noah's time. You didn't have very much writing at all. Pretty well, the writing came in with the second Babylon. And certain people were not able to go ahead and understand other people. Okay? But, getting on with it. The Assyrians. You go ahead and you see pictures of the Assyrians having hooked noses. Why is that? And the answer is that the Assyrian rulers were the Jews of Cain's time. Just like if you were to go ahead and take a picture of Americans as looking like Barack Hussein Obongo's cabinet, you would go ahead and think is that most Americans, the biggest, highest quality, the ones who were respected the most were niggers. If somebody went ahead, weren't able to go ahead and read what was written here, and they came a picture of, Americans at the year 2010, 2011, and they went ahead and took a picture of them, they would assume that Americans, the American nobility was niggers, with a whole bunch of Jews. Well, same way with the Assyrians. The Assyrians in their big old columns didn't go ahead and show the common Assyrian. What they did, the semi-Assyrian, what they did is they showed the rulers, the lords of Akkad, of Cain. And why did Cain look like a Jew? Well, answer, that was his curse here, give a big old Jew nose. So, folks, the Assyrians, you know, the Assyrian. In fact, the Assyrian, you know, the Assyrian thing to where the Assyrians, where the Assyrians were, you know, were the bad people, was created by what the hell, David Hines, who was a Jew, in British Israelitism. And that's pretty well what I learned in Herbert Armstrong's church. The Assyrians, were, you know, the Germans are the Assyrians, the Jews are Judah. That's where Rus, that's where Rus comes with his Ephraim's, you know, scepter horse shit. Okay, all right. So, you know, the show that this morning was Eli James's 11 o'clock show. Okay. All this stuff of the Jews, yes, you go ahead and have the Jews here, but I don't think that Tay-Sachs and Crohn's disease, and, you know, that's pretty well what this, you know, this show is about, is that essentially I found out that Commander McFagg has a Jew disease, and a Jew disease is Crohn's, just like it's Tay-Sachs. And what is the reason for that? Well, the reason for that, and, you know, me and Pastor Britton have had some conversations about it, is because, well, just like, you know, just like Adam, you know, Adam had a Jew wife, a Jew demon, you know, one of Satan's daughters, Lilith, and she's mentioned in the Bible as a demon who would go ahead and steal children. Essentially, Adam went ahead and sinned too. Adam went ahead and sinned. Just like Eve sinned with Satan, Adam sinned. You know, with Lilith. I don't know exactly when, but there's belief that she did. And Lilith was one of the demons. You know, supposedly Satan's daughter. You know, I'm not quite sure how that came about. And, you know, since I don't really know how it came about, I guess I'm going to end the speculation by saying I don't know. I mean, that's the best way to end speculation. When you don't know something, isn't it best to simply say you don't know something? But, folks, ever since Jews being of satanic origin, their DNA, especially in the males, break down. It doesn't break so much down in the females. The mitochondrial DNA doesn't break down. It's the DNA that's, you know, which is supplied by the father. We have, what, 23 chromosomes, half provided by the egg of the mother, half provided by the sperm of the father. And what sperm it is, you know, a male or female sperm, and you have some sperms with double Y chromosomes. You have, or you have eggs, you know, which essentially are past their peak, and they end up having children with Down syndrome. Essentially, life begins at conception, but what you are begins at conception as well. So, since life begins at conception, what you are going to be is determined when sperm meets ovum. And most of the time, Yahweh does not go ahead and interfere. But sometimes he does, like in the case of Jesus Christ, in the case of Cyrus. He went ahead and predicted Cyrus a couple hundred years in advance. What Cyrus would do would go ahead and let the Judeans back, the Benjaminites back here. But folks, when they came back from Babylon, they brought in all these Chaldeans, all these Babylonians. You see, if you understand Christian identity, you understand is that, you know, life did not begin with us. It did not begin in 1776. It did not begin in 1492. There are literally, well, 7,000 years. And folks, Uyghurs have not changed and Jews have not changed. But these Jew degenerative diseases, back then, I think that they still were in existence. It's just that back then, some little tyclet here had a breakdown in his intestine. And he starts shitting blood. Essentially, they just say, hey, there's something wrong with his workings here. It's just like when I used to hatch chicken eggs here. Out of every single hatch there, there'd be one or two chicks that hatched. And for the first, 48 hours, 3 days, you can ship chicks. Because what they have is they have the last of the yolk. inside them. And what happens is their insides, you know, it's not the right temperature. It's too cool a temperature. Let's say they're hatched at about 48, you know, 98 degrees instead of 101. You will have far more chicks who are born with an intestinal disorder because they have not been hatched out correctly. But for the first 3 days, you can go ahead and send them across the country, newborn baby chickens, you know, baby chicks. And they don't need to be fed, they don't need to be watered because they're living off the egg. But if they're not going ahead and hatched out just right, the right temperature, 101 degrees, instead a lot of them are hatched out 98, 97, well, you know, for days and days and days, the incubator does, you know, the incubator is more than 3 or 4 degrees off, you will have a higher and higher and higher proportion of those chicks, which essentially die at the end of 4 or 5 days because they didn't get what was needed during their development. Well, in the case of Jews, you have the same thing. You have the Tay-Sachs blood disease, which the Jews have found out, but they probably didn't find the immune, you know, the, you know, this Crohn's disease until, what, 1932, from what I gather. And since then, you end up having a bunch of Jew doctors who are definitely interested in sort of taking care of Crohn's because, guess what, it's a Jew disease. So someone who goes ahead, even if he looks light-eyed and sort of blonde, like Alex Linder, he has a Jew disease, which means he's a Jew in his woodpile. Well, he acted like a Jew here. Well, now, guess what? He has a Jew ass, you know, he has Jew ass cancer. So I guess I'm going to have to change his name from the gut sick Guido weasel with Jew ass cancer to the gut sick Guido Kuykin weasel with Jew ass cancer. But I found out Wednesday is that McBragg has Crohn's. Found out Thursday that Brian Wright has or had Crohn's. Found out Wednesday night the legal mamzer, as well, you know, legal mamzer was, you know, 2012 was the one who said he had Crohn's here. And I'm not surprised. Supposedly, you know, legal mamzer was Dan Johnson, and I hear have some people say, no, he's not here. But they said legal mamzer, he looks white, but he's obviously screwed up. He's obviously screwed up. He's sort of like old Kane 123456666 here, or Ixabert. They look white, but they're screwed up. They're screwed up. And folks, I have noticed, and I pretty well mentioned, is that you have what you call ester kykuses, because since in the male Jew, if you have over three generations of male Jews bred within each other, their satanic ichor starts to break apart, and they go ahead and get screwed up. Generally, a first-generation non-Halakhic Jew whose father was a Jew, whose mother, was white, whose father was a Jew, what happens is that that Jew will be sort of like a Jew drone. He'll be malicious, but he won't be as vicious as a full-fledged kike. See, even Jews call other Jews kikes, just like niggers call each other niggers. If they see a specially disgusting nigger acting, just like a nigger. Jews call, you know, the worst of the Jews here, or the ones who go in and act like a real Jew, they call them kikes. That's where the word kike came from. You know, the word kike came from what Jews call each other. Jews understand where they come from. Jews sometimes go ahead, and when they're young, they play Nazi like Andrew Greenbaum did. But eventually, I don't know, in some cases they grow up. In some cases, they try to go ahead and deny what they are, and they end up becoming like the Jew who went ahead and gave a peek at the Talmud to Martin Luther. Jews are quarrelsome critters, but they also go ahead and break down if you have more than enough of it here. So every so often, you'll have a Natalie Portmanzer, Natalie Portman. Sarah Silverstein. You know, the name of that really foul mouth, raunchy kikus. You'll have an Alicia Silverstone. Drop dead gorgeous. Eli Stahl here. She might as well, you know, what the hell? Leslie Stahl. She might as well call herself Leslie Stahl in here. She looks white, but she's a Jewess.
So you have every couple generations, two or three, an Esterichthys, and her, you know, her job is to go ahead and bring in Aryan input to go ahead and seduce an Aryan. In fact, Frankenwigger himself essentially has taken the name Frankenwigger from this little short story I proposed about how this guy is a member of the Phineas priesthood here. He's definitely Aryan. He goes ahead and he goes ahead and gets a blowjob from this Esterichthys. He works at the fertility clinic here and inadvertently, you know, spawns 666 cycklings, and therefore at the rest of the show, he has to go ahead and come back here. So what are these Jews going to do? They have to go ahead and, just as they live off of the white man, just like they want to go ahead and destroy the white man because they're the spawn of Satan, they want to go ahead and get into the ministry and teach the white man. That's where you end up having Eli James. Eli James is a Sephardic Jew. Rabbi Fink is an Ashkenazi Jew. So this fight between Eli James that you had this morning, and Rabbi Fink, is simply a fight between the Sephardic Jews, who have a good deal of Esau blood, and Esau was a Wigger. Esau was a white man. Esau was an Aryan. Esau was the son of Isaac. They were twins within Rebekah's womb, and they fought within the womb. They hated each other in the womb. And pretty well, you know, you read in Genesis, I forget which chapter offhand, to where Rebekah says, well, what is going on? He says, you have two nations inside you. One, well, let me see. Let me go ahead and get to this. Let me go ahead and get to this thing here about, you know, where Esau and Edom. Okay. Genesis chapter 24. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan-Aram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. Now, Laban, was he actually a modern-day Syrian? No. Rebekah was his first cousin. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife. You know, this is Genesis chapter 25, verse 21. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. The Lord entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Verse 22. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. It seems like Rebekah was able to go ahead and, you know, ask Yahweh, what's going on, Yahweh? I mean, why am I having a bar, you know, well, I don't think they had bar rooms there. Why am I having such a big old fight here, you know, within my belly? There's a riot going on. What is going on here? This is not normal. Yes, I'll go ahead and get a few kicks here, but oh, this is a knockdown drag out. It says the children struggled together within her. She asked, if it be so, why am I thus? And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in your womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be the stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Well, how do you know which one's the elder? Well, answer, Yahweh told her which one's going to be the elder, and that the elder is going to serve the younger. So essentially, she sort of knew which one would be born first or what sort of person would be born first. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. Verse 25, and the first one came out red, all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. Verse 26, and after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years when she bare him. So in short, for 19 years they didn't have any kids, and then on the 20th anniversary, they finally had two of them. Didn't have any more, but had two of them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. Essentially, Jacob met because, Jacob took hold of Esau's heel. Jacob originally meant, from what I gather, supplanter. In short, Jacob would supplant Esau. Folks, this is a hell of a name to be known as supplanter. It's sort of like being known as sneaky, worthless bastard here, or something like that here, supplanter. Well, folks, it was destiny that Jacob would supplant Esau. And therefore, Jacob needed a new name. And so his name was Israel. His name is Israel later on. Okay? So, getting on with it here. Okay, Frank Wigger said that Yahweh doesn't torture people forever. And the answer is that that's a Babylonian concept. They wanted all these Mamzers, rather than just being godless Mamzers here, they wanted to go ahead and threaten them with burning hell forever and ever and ever and ever, even though that, since they don't have a soul, they're not going to be resurrected. They're not going to be resurrected to a ever-burning hell. The only critters that have an ever-burning hell are those who are immortal, i.e. Satan and his demons. Now, if you're bad, if you're of the Israelite race, you're under Yahweh, you went ahead of your own free will, chose evil, yes, you will be resurrected, and you will be subject to scorch, and you will be subject to death. But afterwards, there will be no death. Says later on in Revelation, the last enemy conquered will be death. Okay. This one, Mass 14 says that he wanted to listen to Metzger. Well, folks, I have no problem with you listening to Metzger. You don't need to troll Dan Johns. Okay? The novelty of talk show wear out here. He hasn't been doing shows with little Nico Faggot, Faggot Finish, Mamzer, Nico Faggot for a long time. And what happens the last time his show was at the very end of, July? Okay, well, Frank Wigger, if you want to be friends with Steve Elder, well, that's fine here. One of my sock puppets is a friend of Steve Elder. Big deal. Okay? Let's see. Okay, yeah, well, Corn Cob is working, he's working somewhere. I thought he was working in North Dakota, instead of Nebraska. But there's oil fields in Nebraska, too. Okay, his mansion, I didn't know he had a mansion. I thought he had a tent. Okay, white powder. Okay, it's a great air nut, purse fight. Okay. Alrighty. Why is Eli James more dangerous than Finkelschini? Because Finkelschini is an absolute sociopath. He's a total asshole. Once you've been think fucked, you sort of remember it. Eli James has been in Chris Van Danzy for about 25 years. He's far more dangerous because he knows far more how to go ahead and do it. Now, his latest crap this morning, he's saying the same crap he said 7 months ago. Total crap. And much I hate to admit it, old Finkelstein is right. I mean, Eli James wants to go ahead and change Christian identity into a nigger-loving, Jew-loving, Mamzer-loving bunch of horse shit about, how we ought to go ahead and judge, we ought to go ahead and say that Yahweh is going to resurrect the Mamzers and burn them all in hell forever and ever, right? That's what Christian identity says. Essentially, when a creature without a soul, be it a Mamzer, or a creature with an evil soul, born evil, like a Jew, they are not raised up to be tortured forever and ever and ever and ever. Even though that skilt-licking Baptist, hobbyist retard, Greggy Howard, that's his version of, Babylonian bullshit. Okay? Well, he sounds, Brian really sounds like a fat yes through here. Okay. I had a bunch of trouble with talks to you for a while here. Okay, look at this here. Okay, I'm looking at that here. Okay, talking about, you know, machine guns. Anyway, yes, there's only going to be a remnant for Yahweh to save. Folks, don't go ahead and join. I've said don't go ahead and join an above-ground movement and get in trouble here. Okay? So, I'm going ahead and going through that here. All righty. Well, you have all these intellectuals who are smarter than God and dumber than dirt. Okay, Frank Wigger says the G13 is the best pot and money can buy. I guess it's better than G12, you know, 1 through 12. And probably inferior to G14. Okay, Google pot for sale. Okay. Well, okay. I'll go ahead and look at Billy Roper's sermon. I have it saved here. Okay. Northwest said he met, it says he met Covington on Friday, which is good. Maybe sometime I'll go ahead and tell us about that here. By the way, I got through the mail his Northwest Migration White Book, version 4. And that was nice of Covington. I've gone ahead and said on Covington's Facebook page, I don't all dare agree with his Northwest imperative, at least not for me. But on the other hand, I never had a problem with Northwest moving to the Northwest. In fact, I think it was probably a good idea because he wanted to do that, and it's not a bad idea to do so. Okay? I mean, I knew a little bit about Northwest. He doesn't have a wife and a child, at least not yet. He can go ahead and find him a white woman up in the Northwest, and he can go ahead and have a bunch of little baby Northwest comrade, you know, people here. And that'd be good for him. That would be good for him. Okay? Like should mate with like here. Folks, I don't have a problem with the Northwest imperative. In fact, you know, I was just thinking about now here. Now you have a whole bunch of intellectuals, and they are going ahead and, you know, talking, including old cut hair Wallace, talking about how the, you know, we ought to have a nation, racial nation state here, and I was listening to Hill Covington on Thursday or Wednesday or whenever. He went ahead and cut short his Radio Free Northwest with a repeat from what last year, from a show from last year about the Robert Stack and the Gerald Lee Lochner thing. You know, saying don't go ahead and do stupid shit, which is good advice for any time. And he went ahead and talked. And folks, I found it sort of strange. I bet these creatards have never read what Hill Covington had to say about Benny Buttfuck Klassen, the Jew boy who went ahead and created, you know, worshiping a dead Jew on a dick. You know, I mean, creativity, you know, there's a number of problems between it and Christian identity. The biggest problem is that, shoot, Christian identity is Christian. But the main problem is these creatards are, in many cases, just Anglo mestizos who live in these cities, whereas your dual seedline Christian identity is essentially a white man, an Aryan, who lives in the rural areas, or in a small town, or, you know, in many cases, out on a farm. What does he have in common with an Anglo mestizo running around in a uniform, screaming white power and screwing sluts here with tattoos and acting like a total dumbass wigger? The answer is nothing. Generally, in normal terms, none of these people meet here except on the internet. And in the vast majority of people, and folks, if you are deep with dual seed like Chris and Danny, I don't even need to tell you not to have anything to do with these creatards. Because you don't want to have anything to do with these creatards. Folks, but Hill Covington for the past, it's been a decade. He was talking about that even when he lived in Texas. He moved up in 2002 sometime. So Hill Covington has had a whole decade
in front of anybody else in this bowel movement. And folks, you had movement to the northwest in 1972 when essentially a bunch of Wesley Swift followers and then, you know, Butler's followers moved up. It was mainly Wesley Swift's followers. You had the Britons move from what? Where they lived and, you know, what, Lancaster, California? I'm not quite sure, you know, where that is, but in any case, they moved out to southern Idaho. Butler went ahead and moved to northern Idaho. The folks, back then, you could go ahead and buy land for, what, $20 an acre or so? And it was a Mormon land. Now what you have is you have a bunch of Wiggers, and it is dangerous to claim your Aryan nations up in Idaho, even if you're even remotely affiliated, like old poor old Wigger Whimper Edgar Steele. You're going to get screwed. So, do I support the Occupy Wall Street movement? No. I don't have anything to do with Wall Street. I don't own any stocks or anything. Okay. Folks, I don't have a great love for Joseph Stalin here. Okay. Am I going to author a book soon? I need to go ahead and pretty well bring in all the compilation and thought here and upgrade a little bit and put it in one place where people can go ahead and read it on a PDF file or on a Word file. So, I am working on one, okay? How to conduct ethnic cleansing. Answer, I don't tell you how to conduct ethnic cleansing. The Great Tribulation will do most of the heavy lifting, okay? Why would Morse Gillette unfriend, you know? Oh, I have no idea why Morse Gillette unfriended you. Okay? Okay. You know, where did Lothrop Stoddard, you know, where did I go wrong where Lothrop Stoddard, you know, went right? Thing about it is, Lothrop Stoddard didn't go wrong here. I mean, shoot, he died 7 years before I was born. Okay, what is the place of racial science in your world? Well, I've pretty well said dual seed line Christian identity divides, you know, pretty well all humankind into a very, very small remnant of pure-blooded Aryans who have chosen Jesus Christ and understand Christian identity, and then pretty well the rest of the world. As far as I'm concerned, the Uyghurs and the rest here, you know, the muds, why, that's why we need a great tribulation. They're going to die in it. Okay. Let me see. You know, Math 1488 had a scenario that was based more on World of Warcraft than pretty well what the Bible is. Okay. Adam didn't screw Satan, but from my gathering, he did screw Satan's daughters. But also the reason about this, you know, thing about the fruit or something like that. You understand is the man is in charge of the woman, and the woman goes ahead and commits a sin. It's the same as the husband committing the sin. He is responsible for the actions of his wife. So since Eve was seduced here by Satan, Adam didn't get off as a, oh, it ain't my fault, I got screwed, you know, I got cuckolded. Well, yes, Adam, you should have been keeping a better eye on Eve. That's what it boiled down to. So part of Adam's curse was he would have to be doing all the work. And he was responsible for his wife. Just as the curse of Eve was that she was under the dominion of her husband. Okay, well, you can have, you know, it's up to you to go ahead and do this sort of thing here. Why would Morse Gillette defriend you? Well, the thing about it is that Morse Gillette is essentially nothing more than a little figurehead. The ones who run it is this Anglo-Mestizo, Alan Truett. Anglo-Mestizo Truett is essentially doing whatever the heck he wants. I mean, he was over on the Creatard show, pretending to be real friendly with the Creatards. Folks, he probably was friendly with the Creatards. Essentially, Anglo-Mestizo Truett is just simply, you know, I mean, I'll grant Anglo-Mestizo Truett. I mean, he was calling me a child molester. He was getting old. He's getting that retard from North Carolina who runs this Area Nation show to pretty well block me, and then when I went ahead and flash told, he went ahead and blocked all the guests over on the Susan Yeager show. I'll go ahead and cover that in a little bit here. Alrighty. You know, so I'm looking at this thing here. Anyway, college is a joke. I wouldn't go to there. I would not go to there unless you, I wouldn't go to college unless you actually need the documentation here. I certainly wouldn't spend $70,000 to get a history degree or a basket weaving degree. Okay? Okay. Guest number 15 says, I believe we are moving into a period of history where Jews can't do anything right. And the answer is, well, that's true. Jews cannot do anything. I mean, Jews have all sorts of beliefs and all sorts of, you know, all sorts of notions. And folks, Yahweh put his finger on the scale so that the German people would go ahead and be defeated by Zog Babylon. That was Yahweh's putting his finger on the scale. But folks, Yahweh is now ready to go ahead and put his finger on the scale of the Great Tribulation. To where, no, Jews cannot do nothing right. It was man which proposes, it is Yahweh which disposes. So, there is nothing that a Jew can do right that will please Yahweh. Nothing. Why? Well, I mean, Finkelschini is right. There's no such thing as a good Jew. Thing about it is, though, Finkelschini's hiding the fact that he's a Jew. And he serves a Jew. You know, I mean, it's altogether laughable. I mean, if Eli James was smart here, he'd just simply go ahead and cut off Brian Rio. But no, Eli James is pretty well going in the part where he looks like a Jew who is trying to change dual seed line Christian identity, and Finkelschini is being advanced by the Jews. He's on the Voice of Retards with this Carolyn Yeager, and I need to go ahead and write Carolyn Yeager and tell her that, hey woman, think. Is a Jew. He's a Jew sociopath. He's a Jew criminal. But folks, Voice of Retards. From my guy, I was looking at an old post on the forum. And from my guy, this Mike Connor. His actual name is Mike Cohen, and he changed his name from Cohen to Connor, just sort of like old John Kerry's grandfather changed his name from whatever it was in Hungarian to putting a picture. Point a picture of County Kerry on the map and say, okay, we're going to be Kerry once we go ahead and get to the New World. We're going to pretend to be Hiberniggers instead of, Finkelschini's. It's sort of like old Wesley Clark found out he was Jew. Madeleine Albright found out she was a Jew. Folks, just looking at him, you can go ahead and figure out he was a Jew. You have all these Jews, essentially in many cases, when it's safer, they think, Jews are on top, they go ahead and become Jews, but they're finding out that going ahead and having some sort of success has some sort of drawbacks, just like Eli James. He shows up at the NSM thinking he's going to go ahead and revive his career, and everybody has a, chimps out, saying, Eli James is a Jew, Eli James is a Jew, Eli James is a Jew. Well, yeah, Eli James is a Jew. And so, the more notoriety Eli James got this past month, be it over at Morris Collette or be it over at Jeff Shoup's, the more he got hammered for being a Jew. Whereas Finkelschini sees that and he figures out, well, this Jew boy is getting too much, notice, so I'm going to go ahead and create a new webpage, John 8:44. When I was trolling Eli James, I made it quite clear that I did not own John 8:44. I don't see the reason for John 8:44 at all. Essentially, what you have is you have a number of these cookie-cutter websites that Finkelschini, the great information technologist, goes ahead and it's simply the same dang thing, just with a new portion of it. It's just off the shelf, just like this Andrew Renarch says here. It's just off the shelf technology. Be it like Dreamweaver or be it, what the heck are these called? Front Page? Be it whatever.
Finkelschini is not no great genius, and I've heard rumors that somebody else who went, you know, other people went ahead and set up Finkelschini's site. Finkelschini is just a supported Jew criminal. That's all he is. But he's jealous of the supported Jew, Eli James. You know, it was like I was trying to tell Russ Walker tonight. What Eli James is saying is just an exposition of what he said in December that pretty well sent old Clifton Emhiser and Bill Fink spinning, because essentially, initially, Eli James was far more right than Bill Fink and Emhiser, because essentially, with his Beast of the Field thing, he was trying to go ahead and turn Cro-Magnon man into the Adamites. Well, folks, I believe that the Adamites went ahead and turned the Cro-Magnon man into the Adamites. Not the Cro-Magnons turned, the Adamites into, the new thing. But there's no real problem with that. Eli James initially was correct in a Comperian sense. But what he did is that here he comes up with all this whining about how niggers and Jews, why there's such thing as a good Jew, and they can go ahead and they're hybrids. Well, a Jew is a hybrid, a hybrid is a union between the immortal demons and watchers and Satan and Adamic man. And yes, that's a hybrid. A mamzer is just simply sex, sexual relations, the fruit of a sexual relationship between a humanoid, not an immortal, but essentially it's a mamzer. There's a difference between a hybrid and a mamzer. And Eli James does not go ahead and talk about it because he has plenty of mamzers in his congregation. He brought these mamzers, Brian Rio and Fink, in. There's a difference, and what happens, Eli James is somewhat correct in that a hybrid, a.k.a. a Jew, if you leave them by themselves, they will go ahead. But here's Eli James as a Jew, a Sephardic Jew, a Jew which has far more Israelite DNA than Finkelschini, even though Eli James looks far more like a Jew than Bill Fink does. Bill Fink does not look like a healthy white specimen. Look at the nose on that critter. I mean, it's a nose bigger than most niggers. Just like Brian Rio has big, thicker lips than Angelo Jolie and Jimi Hendrix here. Both of which have some nigger in them. Well, Jimi Hendrix was a high yeller. And anyway, he had thinner lips than Brian Rio. So, yes, there's a difference between hybrids and mamzers. And Eli James is deliberately going ahead and confusing, and people are saying, what do you mean? There's no shortage of these Mexicans. Well, no, there's not. A mamzer is just simply an abomination here, which has gone around through the sinful miscegenation here. But this hybrid, a.k.a. a Jew, is a result of mixing satanic blood with Adamite blood and with beast of the field blood, with mamzer blood. And a Jew is the ultimate mamzer. It got not only demon Satan's blood in it, but it got non-white blood, beast and field blood in it. And so, all it can do is think of doing evil. It can think of doing only its father's work in a chaotic fashion. That's why you have what happened today here. Essentially, you just have a fight between Jews. You have a fight between Baal priests. You have a fight between mamzers. And what I've seen today is you had wandering mamzers. You had old Jewel coming over. And that's what you have in Christian identity. That's what you have in above ground Christian identity. You have above ground wandering Wikipedia/TalksJew Christian identity. That's all it is. That Ethan 24, he was running around over the Finkelschini yesterday. Then he came on back. You have Jurel over, he's on Finkelschini, he came on over. Martin 41 is a Finkelschini. He came over. And pretty well had a number of, tart sayings. He wasn't banned or anything like that. But Eli James, the very first time, I said, hey, Eli James, are you going to go ahead and block all the guests? Are you going to do this stupid shit? Because the only way that Eli James could possibly make it is to go ahead and have an open debate with Finkelschini or with me. And what he did is he went ahead and blocked the guests. He did not want me trolling it. So I trolled it anyway as Rabbi Elier. I got my digs in. But, you know, at the very end of the chat, he said, are you partnering with Finkelschini? Well, heaven forbid, I don't partner with Jews. Eli James, though, is I love this fight that Eli James has with Finkelschini. I love it when Jews fight. Folks, I do not want a unified bowel movement. I do not want a unified Christian identity. You see, I'm white. I'm Aryan. I go ahead and talk, and folks, you folks who are the chosen seed of Israel's race, the true ones here, you hear my voice. It's the Mamzers and Targs and the rest here who are revealed as Jews by their faith and now increasingly by the fact that they're bleeding out their ass here, like, you know, McFaggy is, like Leo Mamzer 2012, like Alex Linder. Folks, the Jew shows its mentality and it goes ahead and shows its face and it goes ahead and shows its asshole. So, in any case, I'm going to go ahead and take another break, and I'm not sure when we'll go ahead and come. Unification will happen, whether I like it or not. Unification will happen when there's only white people left, and that's going to happen after the Great Tribulation. And don't say that I don't like it. I'm looking forward to this Great Tribulation. I do everything I can so the Great Tribulation will happen. Okay? Anyway, I'm going to take a break. So, hail victory, folks.
Go to Dickie's Merchant to see what I can find. I find a bunch of goodies from 2005. I see all those items from the good old days. It's my fucking hands and his leathers all day. Want to be a sword master in the SF. Want to be a sword faggot in the SF. Want to be a sword master in the SF. Sword master, sword faggot in the SF. With a gay pipe parade, Dickie rolled with pride, sucking off niggers in the dusty countryside. Every red nigger bastard that wanted to pay, we would suck them off day after day. Want to be a sword master in the SF? Want to be a sword faggot in the SF? Want to be a sword master in the SF? Sword master, sword faggot in the SF! Today I grin when I see his bull whip, my sphincter's battle tested, I know it's really drip, get that little butt, a gleam in my eyes, call me Brian Real, I tell nothing but lies, I'll be a sword master in the SF, I'll be a sword faggot in the SF, I'll be a sword master in the SF, sword master, sword faggot in the SF, wanna be a sword master in the SF, wanna be a sword faggot in the SF, wanna be a sword master in the SF, sword master, sword faggot in the SF.
Okay, folks, the second thing I've seen is the rise of Alan Truett, Anglo-Mestizo Truett. Now, you got to understand is that when Butler went ahead and took over, he wasn't the first choice. Wesley Swift's actual successor was a Reformed Irish Catholic named Connie Lynch. And Connie Lynch was pretty well set up to where he served a year in jail, and they put something in his food to where his heart blew up. And as a result, Connie Lynch was no longer the successor. And there's some people who believe that he was deliberately killed in order to go ahead and create the way for Pastor Richard Butler being the next in line for the succession. Butler had a totally different belief here. He didn't believe that the family men of Wesley Swift's church would go ahead and fight real hard to bring about the Great Tribulation and the Revolution. So he decided to go ahead and bring in criminals. Criminals of all sizes and all shapes. But at least, you know, with Butler here, you had to be a white criminal. Well, folks, it's just like the, quote, Aryan Brotherhood. It started out as a white prison gang, but then it became, in order to go ahead and get more muscle, they went ahead and started letting in darker and darker and darker people to where now it's just pretty well just a prison gang of Mamzers. Exactly what it is here. I remember you know, looking at it when it came on during the Nut House on the Gangland thing series, the first series or so, the first, you know, year's episode included the Aryan Brotherhood. And essentially, the only ones who were, well, who were light-eyed, who were blue-eyed, were the very first founding members of the Aryan Brotherhood from the 1960s and the early 70s. All the, quote, the rest of them here are, you know, dark-eyed. Now, Morris Gillette was the last, pretty well, he was with Ray Redfern out of, mid-Ohio. And essentially, Ray Redfern wanted to go ahead and have his buddy Morris, you know, in with him. Well, Ray Redfern liked using cocaine. And there's a lot of belief that he died at the age of 53 when he was Butler's successor. And he died as a result of a cocaine overdose. Well, guess what? Morris Gillette was a drunken crackhead. He was a drunken cokehead. And if you go ahead and read this book about Dave Halls, where, Ray Redfern let in this Asian provocateur, who had a bunch of niggling nieces, the rest of them here. That's why I call liability clueless for sort of low rent Dave Hall. He was just a doper. He was just a dope using criminal who was politically correct, who understood is that, oh, if these Aryan nations people come in, my little nigglets, nieces, and nephews will not go ahead and survive under a white racial nation state run by these maniacs. So essentially, he went ahead and got to where he could go ahead and repeat the stuff. He didn't actually believe it. He was whining like a good little wigger about, oh, how it hurt to go ahead and pretend to, hate niggers, because his relatives were niggers. He had nigger nieces, nigger nephews here. So like this one. But Morris Gillette, he got arrested in early 2005 because while I was going ahead, he had a trust fund, and essentially Zog wouldn't let him have access to it. They didn't want people having a whole bunch of money. So what does Gillette do? He goes ahead, he gets drunk, and folks, just like has happened before, he got betrayed by one of the friends, one of the August Christ tards here, named Joshua Caleb Sutter, who talked about how tough he was. And I'm not sure if the guy was white or not. In turn, Joshua Caleb Sutter got set up by somebody else. In turn, they got set up by somebody else. And that's the problem with criminals. That's what James Britton, Pastor John Britton's brother, tried to tell him because he was a prison minister. He was the head of the prison ministry under Wesley Swift, and he understood that criminals were just simply not to be used. Even Mao Zedong said that criminals and bandits have their use, but they should not go ahead and decide policy. They should not run because, hey, they're weak people. They're just simply criminals. You can't trust them. So, in any case, what you end up having with these criminals is that, criminals essentially are the biggest supporters of the regime. You see, under a Nazi regime, Christian identity regime, most of these criminals are misbegotten. They're screwed up. They're at war with themselves. They're schizoid managers like Brian Real. Or Jews like Eli James or Bill Fink. They're just simply, they don't know how to behave. Their synapses are not in function here. They're at war with themselves. A Jew is born evil. But Manzer is, essentially muddled, confused, at war with himself. So he will go ahead and commit crimes. Well, folks, once you go ahead and get rid of these, once you get rid of these criminals, then once you end up having, just strictly white lunacy, and you end up having, whites who are not able to take care of themselves, not able to behave, essentially, an authoritarian regime, uniform regime, what use is a criminal who goes ahead and commits crime after crime after crime after crime after crime? Especially when there's no need for a Jew lawyer, there's no need for a police force, there's no need for something like that. What do you do with someone who is a perpetual criminal, a perpetual thief? Much less, a perpetual rapist or a child molester or anything like that here. What do you do with people like that? And the answer of it is that even if you go ahead and offer them a first chance, if they're going to go ahead and commit crime after crime after crime, you usually, just go ahead and just put a bullet in them. That's what Adolf Hitler did.
That's what the Chinese, the Russians, everybody else does. I mean, you don't allow criminals to run wild and breed generations of criminals. That's what Lothrop Stoddard said. The criminal used to be taken out of circulation. But folks, under Yahweh's law, there was just two varieties of crimes. One to be settled by flogging, the other to be settled by death. And that's how they dealt with the people who couldn't behave. In this country, the white population generally is not committing crimes. It's usually the Jews who are committing financial crimes. And the niggers and beaners and the rest of them, you're drunk or whatever, are committing the rest. White people. Normal white people are not criminally, inclined. So here's Alan Truitt. He goes ahead and he assumes, just like Colette, is that, hey, if you're accused by the government, you must be guilty. Why, hey, I'm a criminal, I'm guilty. This other guy he's accused, why, he believes that same way. When I was in the nuthouse, I made the mistake of telling a criminal what I was in for. And he kept on throwing it up at me. You cannot trust a criminal. A criminal is a totally, unworthy, worthy piece of shit. Now, I've seen some people who are not criminals. They were just simply innocent people who were being swept up or, the confused. And there's plenty of white people who are confused and weak. I've seen one guy who killed his own kid and he cried every night. He cried every night and he ended up getting life imprisonment. He was a poor old Uyghur, mechanic. He wasn't exactly too smart. And he realized that in a fit of temper, he killed his own child, his own 10-year-old son, his only son. And I used to hear him in the next room crying because he realized what he had done. Now, does he need to be in a penitentiary to become penitent? No, he was penitent every night. He cried every night. I used to hear him cry. He was a Uyghur. Big old Uyghur. Big old dumb Uyghur. But I'm not talking about people like that. I'm talking about hardcore, just drunken criminals, drunken crackheads like Morris Gallet. And folks, even before I'd heard of him, he'd gone ahead and ordained Brian Wright without any second question. Here he is, going ahead and being all pissy about a supporter, John Britton, who's already been ordained by his own father. And he doesn't want to go ahead and give an ordination to actual white man. That's exactly what the hell Gallet was here. Essentially, he was just a criminal who didn't really much care for whites, who just wanted to go ahead and use them, thinking the white people had an obligation. Shit, Gallet, for all practical purposes, is really nothing more than a white nigger. He's just simply a retarded criminal. And I've gone ahead and looked at this thing. I've gone ahead and looked at it, and Gallet looks like a whipped dog. He looks like, essentially, someone who has been sold his soul, and now he's out. And now he has Anglo Mestizo Truitt running things here. And I went ahead and I got blocked, and so did all the guests here on this latest Aryan Nations thing on Friday night. And here he is running with the creators. Well, that's not normal behavior with Chris Sandei. Most of the time, Chris Sandei can just barely stand creators. Don't want creators in our congregation. But here's Anglo Mestizo Truitt trying to go ahead and make himself something. And he was going ahead and gloating about why child molester, even though he knows that I wasn't convicted of anything. But he's a liar. Well, he's just a man's liar. I've gone ahead and looked at the pictures. It looks like he has an Anglo, even darker, cork-eyed, man's wife who went ahead and went down, who used to be with the NSM. So essentially, you have Anglo Mestizo Truitt, who is running wild, and he's going between E.R. James and Finkelschini. Like Brian Real, being a Manzer, he's going to go ahead. If there's a big fight, he's going to choose the strongest side. And right now, that's Finkelschini. Finkelschini is being groomed to be the new head of the, dual seed line Christian Identity Church. Now, of course, he's not going to be because, hey, he's just a Jew Manzer sociopath. But folks, you end up having Zog going ahead and creating that, and you have Anglo Mestizo Truitt. And here's Gallet. Having another criminal, Paul Mullett, and I've gone ahead and seen their brand new, spanking new magazine. Well, folks, all it is just the same old boilerplate picture of a knight in armor here with a cross, called the Aryan Crusader or something like that. Essentially, all it is reprinted Bertrand Comperet without, anything.
without anything, any intelligence or anything. It's just something, you know, words, which are going ahead and printed on graphics here. It's not about the message. It's about, well, hey, we're Aryan. Look, we have a picture of a knight and a horse with a cross. Folks, for something like that, all it is just hollow eye candy. All it is just saccharine. All it is just sort of like a, well, a chocolate-coated dog turd. That's all it is. Now, folks, I really respect Bertrand Comperet, but folks, going ahead and using, you know, using Bertrand Comperet as a little device by which Mamzers and Jews sneak in, well, that's not a good use to put Bertrand Comperet to. Okay? So, you know, I mean, what was this? You know, I've gone ahead and I invited Mona Montgomery. I greatly doubt Cindy Steele is going to do an interview. I think she's talked to old Wigger Whimper. Wigger Whimper wants to whine like a pussy about how unfair it is that he's been thrown in jail without benefit of due process of law or the constipation the bill gets. Well, folks, the constipation bill goods was a dead letter the day that they were supposedly signed. It didn't go even 8 years before the founding felons, John Adams, signed the Alien Sedition Acts to where if you went ahead and said in the newspaper that the President of the United States and the Federal Congress were a bunch of thieving cocksuckers, or even less than that, why, hey, you'd be in jail. You'd be in jail. If you were foreign, you'd be deported. Folks, the real precious constipation bill of goods didn't even last a decade before it was pretty well shit on. Used as excuse by the little Jew banksters here. Folks, I mean, Aaron Burr was a real crooked piece of shit, but he did one service for the Republic. He went ahead and killed the Rothschilds agent here, the half-Jew, Alexander Hamilton. He killed the Jew boy. He went ahead and founded the first Bank of the United States among interested Jews. Folks, the Jews need the white man to live off. They need the white man to go ahead and replenish their genetic falling apart Mamzer DNA. Eli James was correct about that. If you go ahead and understand when he says hybrid, you ought to say Jews. Don't go ahead and pretend Mamzer's going to die if left to himself. Don't go ahead and pretend that niggers and gooks are going to go ahead and die, although they'll kill each other, although their society will languish. They won't go ahead and die, but Jews will. Jews will. So what's Eli James worried about? He's worried about the fate of the Jews. He wants to go ahead and... Oh, it was a sickening show. And Martin 41, even though he's a worthless hybrid nigger, was right. This sounds like the Nigger Lover Hour. What the hell's going on here? Well, answer. Well, Eli James was going ahead and doing this stuff here. But folks, it's not only the face, and the action. It seems like it's the literal assholes of these Jews which are going ahead and telling on them. Brian Wright, a Mamzer. Galette went ahead and ordained him. You know, and Pastor John Brittle said, well, yeah, he ended up talking all this stuff about how he had to have his hemorrhoids taken care of. And folks, if you're sort of tall, you have a bigger, since you have more intestine, you have a bigger chance of having colon cancer than you do if you're short. Because you have far more intestine to go wrong. You know, it's not exactly a cancer. What it is that Crohn's disease is a autoimmune deficiency. What happens is that the Jew satanic ichor is breaking down, especially in the males of it. Their ichor, the interface between their spawn of Satan and, you know, between their Adamic blood, you know, or their blood through Eve, is breaking down. That's why they have that problem. So should we go ahead and be surprised when Jews end up, you know, that sort of thing happened to them? The answer is of course not. Of course not. So what you end up having is that you end up having more and more and more infiltration. But what you have is that you have, you know, you end up having, you know, just like, you know, in the very last days where they mix the, you know, the seed of man and beast. It's not going to go ahead and work. There is no way that there could be, for long, a creatard and pretend Mamzer dual seedline Christian Identity Alliance. These people don't understand anything about Christian Identity. They're just playing a game. They're just running around in uniform. All they are is Zog False Front. And what you do see is you see wandering Mamzers. You see Ethan24 and Elier moving over to Finklashinis to go ahead and get, you know, to go ahead and feed at the, the Mamzer 12. You have R.P. Wake, who is a Finklashinite, moving over to Elier's. Essentially, all you have is just wandering about six or eight Mamzers, same old Mamzers wandering between Finklashini and Elier, to go ahead and get their fix and pretend to be Christian Identity. That's all you have. That's all you will have. So, I'm pretty well determined that, yes, Alex Winder is a Jew, because, hey, he has a Jew disease. He has Crohn's. That's a Jew disease. So, folks, it's not just the show of the face which is telling on you, but it's also Jew boy. It's your bleeding asshole. Your bleeding asshole will tell on you. Oh, by the way, I was working on a fag parody. I'm going to go ahead and try to get up here. Last Sunday's show, I only had about 45 or an hour minute here, so I may go ahead and add to it and then get it up. Thursday show, I'll go ahead and get up, and I'll try to go ahead and get up Sunday show, and I'm going to try to go ahead and catch up with all the backlog before Thursday of all three shows that are out, and then the two which are sitting back out too here. So I think I've gone ahead and covered. I think I've pretty well covered what I wanted to go ahead and cover. I don't see anything new on Spermfront other than that essentially they are supposedly running low on money. But then again, it's sort of like a Hal Turner thon here. They've always run low on money. There's no satisfying Don Black. You know, over on VNNF here, they were bitching about Steve Jobs dying. Steve Jobs was a Mamzer. From my gather, he was spawned by some, they said Syrian Jew or something like that. He had a nose like a Jew. He looked like a Jew. He was a very good businessman like a Jew. Like people said, a lot of people said I'm underwhelmed by what happened to Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs essentially was just a gadget man. All he was a gadget man. Now, folks, the Apple stuff was fairly quality stuff, but some of it was built to where you have to go to Apple in order to go ahead and use more of it, and the Apple stuff costs 3 to 5 times. I've had this argument with Pastor John Britton before. He just loves his $1,500 Apple, laptop. The thing about it is he hasn't been able to use it for the past 2 years or so because it got the one virus that they get here. Well, okay. If it's such a good product, go ahead and use it. But for $1,500, I can buy 3 $500 Toshibas, which are pretty well the top end of the bottom end of the laptops, or I can buy 5 $300 Toshibas or compacts. Compact number one that I have, it has Windows 7, and I do not like Windows 7. I like it even less than I like Windows Vista. And I like Windows Vista less than I like Windows XP, and I like Windows P less than I like Windows ME. I like Windows ME the best of all the Windows projects, because essentially it was the same as Windows 98. It was the same as Windows 98 Service Pack 3 is what it was. And if you didn't go ahead and load up the pre-Windows XP shit, you had it. So, there's some people like Apples, but folks, Apple shit costs 3 times as much here. Right now, I'm recording using an MP3 player. Folks, this MP3 player works as good or better than an iPod. It works for what I need it for. I go ahead and listen to my sermons. I go ahead and listen to some music. is 4 gigabytes, and what happens is you can go ahead and buy, you know, buy a little bitty memory card up to, what, 32 gigabytes. There's 4 gigabytes built in. And so I listen to my sermons. When I'm out there doing my work in the garden, I go ahead and listen to them, and I use this to record the program. This Sanyo, this little, what do they call it? You know, Sansa, you know, which, makes memory products. I think it's a Japanese or Korean company or Chinese. I'm not quite sure where it comes from. No, it's made in China anyway. It does whatever, I guess, an iPod would do. Folks, I wouldn't buy an iPod. I've never had an Apple computer or a product in my life, and for which I am sort of proud. Folks, yes, they superficially run good here. Yes, they're convenient. Yes, you end up liking them, I guess. But, folks, I've never really had the interest in paying 3 to 5 times as much. That's what it should, to go ahead and buy something here which will do pretty well whatever I need it to do for a third to a fifth of the price. Steve Jobs was just simply a gadget maker. He was a clever gadget maker, but, you know, hey, to me, he was not no Thomas Edison. He didn't go ahead and all he created was gadgets. He didn't go ahead and create anything new. He didn't go ahead and create the mouse. He did not go ahead and create the computer. Essentially, what happens, he was a businessman who created gadgets. He created fluff. He's just a little bit more than the guy who sells these Ginzu steak knives, and a little bit less, far less here than Thomas Edison. Okay, second thing I wanted to go ahead and talk about, Amanda Knox. There was a rather pretty white girl who came from Seattle. She was a Uyghur. She goes ahead and believes the stupid shit their parents fill her head with is that we're all equal. She goes over to Italy. A nigger goes ahead and kills her nigger female roommate. And what do these Italians decide to do? They decide to go ahead and have a white girl in prison. And so they go ahead and put her in prison, simply because they can. Folks, that's exactly what happened, is that, the dark races and the WOPs and the rest do not like white people. They don't like us at all. And folks, you better realize that. That if your money goes ahead and becomes worthless, or your protection goes ahead and becomes worthless, you will die in a foreign country, in a foreign land, if you are not very, very, very careful. So, even though Amanda Knox is sort of a Uyghur, I bet she's not a Uyghur anymore. And, folks, I got to go ahead and give her some credit in that what happens is, like Hal Turner, she went up and saved her life. She went ahead and went and saved her life. She went ahead and, took the stand, went ahead and actually did something around the line of a shit-eaten lawyer to do it for her. That's the difference between, well, her and someone like Edgar Steele. Her, Hal Turner and someone like, Edgar Steele. Not saying she wasn't altogether, if she was altogether innocent or she was not all, somewhat guilty. But folks, this is just simply Zog trying to go ahead and go after anybody who's of our own here. And even if it's an Italian Zog. So, anyway, I don't know. I've looked at this sort of thing. Yeah, well, slave labor in China makes the stuff. Essentially, what you had is you had a bunch of engineers in Cupertino, California, designing the stuff. Going ahead and coming up with the idea, oh, yes, let's just go ahead and have an iPod, and that way you won't have to go ahead and carry a CD all the time. Well, folks, people point out is that you had MP3s, you had the MP3 players before you had Steve Jobs. Small companies from Germany who did pretty well the same thing, but they didn't go ahead and use the dollar per sheet. Go ahead and just use the downloaded stuff here. I remember when Napster came out and there was peer-to-peer sharing. In most cases, what people did is that, like I did, is that I'd just go ahead and, take all these files I had, as an MP3 and store them as an MP3, and then when I wanted to go ahead and listen to them, actually, what I would do is I'd just go ahead and make them, turn them into a CD or something here. And that's the way it was for a number of years here. Now I'm just using a little MP3 player And folks, I'm not missing, you know, I'm not needing an iPod. Folks, you have a tablet. Folks, you already have something which will go ahead and play a DVD movie. You already have something which will go ahead and you can go ahead and read. And what it's called is it's called a laptop computer. Now, is it as easy as, you know, picking up or convenience picking up a tablet or a Kindle? Well, answer no. But on the other hand, it'll do everything a Kindle will do. And in many cases, I do not like paying a premium, an Apple premium. So anyway, I think I've gone ahead and discovered everything is that, well, yeah, someone went and pointed out it was made in China with slave labor and brought over to full Uyghurs to go ahead and pay premium Jew prices. So, I don't know. I mean, Steve Jobs is not as malignant as you as many here, but, you know, he's malignant enough. So, I think I'm going ahead and I'm getting a little bit tired. It's time to go ahead and finish the show. So, I'm going to go ahead and say, you know, good night. Well, hail victory. May Yahweh bless you, you remnant listening. And good night. White men clad in black are we, hi-yi-oh-ho, and we'll stamp out God's tyranny, hi-yi-oh-ho. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the cornet logs, let red blood flow. When Adam delved and Eve defend, Kyrie-lay-i, all who was there, the ruling man, Kyrie-lay-i. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the cornet lawns, let red blood flow. Four white men, their rifles shoot, the Jews are laid low. On Zogling neck we stomp our boots to stamp out God's home. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the court of logs, let red blood flow. The regime must only love his greed, hi-yi-oh-ho. The love of God our only need, hi-yi-oh-ho. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the cornhouse logs, let red blood flow. We'll conquer for our cause is right, hi-yi-oh-ho. Our sons won't have to go and fight, hi-yi-oh-ho. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow.